the structure's located at tax map 184-00-5-24-3462-23A. Cats are unsafe and dangerous and are in danger of falling and constituting an attractive nuisance in the roof and the outside of the walls of collapse in order of said structure to be repaired, demolished, or removed. Said secured or removal of said structure must commence by October 30th, 2023 and shall be completed by November 30th, 2023 unless good cause is shown and time will be extended. Take further notice that the hearing in this matter is to be held before the town board wherein interested parties may be heard in regard to the board's order. Said hearing shall take place on Wednesday, October 18th at 6:30. Please take further notice that in the event of a refusal or failure to comply with the said order, the town board within the time provided hearing, the town may proceed to demolish or remove said structures. All expenses incurred by the town in connection with the proceedings of the to demolish and remove the structures, including the cost of actual removal of such structures, shall be assessed against the land on which such structures are located and shall be levied and collected in the same manner as provided in Article 15 of the town law for the levy and the collection of a special ad valorem levy. And that was from Matt Carlisle, our attorney on the circuit. And we also resent the email for the town board members, but there's four structures or four locations at the same property that we, you know, that Matt Carlisle, our code officer, feel that are unsafe and we need further action. So with that, I'm going to open up the public hearing to anybody in the residents or residents or members of the community that have any input on regarding that particular location. Yes.
Yes.
Just state your name and who you are.
Hi, my name is Juan Miranda. Actually, I'm the current owner of the property.
Okay.
So I just want to let you know that I'm talking to some investors this Friday. I want to have some work from Monday to start with the demolition of those buildings.
This coming Monday?
Yeah, this coming Monday.
And what can you, do you have contractors that are going to come to the site? How do you see yourself proceeding with that?
I have a contractor that I talked to the contractor already and everything, so that is how I mentioned before, like, I'm talking with a person that is going to be my partner, but I just start to do the demolition of those buildings.
Okay.
The removal of everything.
And that's going to commence on Monday?
It's going to start on Monday.
Because after the public hearing, I mean, we have to, you know, as the public notice was stated, that after this location, we need, within 20 days, that we need to see a lot of progress.
Yes,
definitely
it will be progress in the next 20 days.
Now, you're aware that the buildings are the locations on the property that meet the four
locations? Yes, I got it.
You got the map for that? I don't want to talk for Matt, but I think the main structure might be okay, but a lot of the outbuildings, the garage.
Yeah, especially the one next to the road and everything is going to start with an demolition, and then the two other, three other ones there in the back.
Okay. And what was your estimated completion date? If you started on Monday, what's your
probably month?
By the end of this month, of end of October?
Probably when I need a little more time. That depends, like, how I say, I want to start to talk to the electrical contractors and everything to start the job and everything. So, I want to say some architects working in the...
So, have you looked at these buildings?
Yes, I did.
Two out of the four, or three out of the four, there is no repair to them.
I know, that's why I said when I did the complete demolition of those.
Yes. But I think the main building has to be boarded up to New York State Fire Code requirements.
Right. I mean, I don't know if Matt, how Matt addressed it, but it would be nice to secure the main structure as Jared is stating here. In other words, if it's for a location where transient people could end up going into the home or, you know, squatters and things like that.
We want
to protect your property. We want to protect our firemen in those locations so they know. God forbid there's a fire that they're not going in.
Or there's someone that's secure. Besides those ones that are like totally, how I say, I value the condition the property. And like all the other buildings, the main house is totally secure. All the doors are closed and everything, so there's no access to the buildings. The other be the start of demolition of those ones.
I'll have to state this. It is a very, the county board's taking this issue very seriously. As you know, we've been working on this for a considerable length of time, 6 months, 8 months, maybe up to a year at this point. And, we're to the point that we really, I believe you when you tell me we're going to start, doing this demolition come Monday or in the very near future. But I will say I think the town board is ready to take action. If you don't follow through with what you're telling us tonight, I can pretty much tell you that we will, in the very near future, we will proceed and take action ourselves. And as I mentioned, if we do it, then it's going to be
great. Yeah,
and I think you can do it potentially at a more reasonable price than we can do it. But I'd like to see you really make progress. That's our main objective.
Yeah, that's why I'm here, today, that. I'm in the case and everything, so that's why I start to do the job. I say that in this Friday I had a conversation with the other, with the partner that I have for the project and everything. I'm gonna take action the next Monday and everything.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was just doing. So our next meeting is on November 7th.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So I would say that if there's nothing happening by November 7th, that's our meeting, the town will then,
right.
Is that correct?
Right, that's the next time that we're going to convene as a group to take further action. I mean, I'll be honest with you, we wanted to make sure that you had more than ample notice to, come to the town board. We didn't have too much input from yourself or anybody else in the community. And at that point, we were prepared to take action to
move forward. So
there's no doubt in my mind that it doesn't proceed the way we want to see it and the way it's designed to work, we will take action. I think taking up what Duane's saying here, Duane's going to pick up, I agree that at the next meeting, if Matt Carlisle doesn't bring us any, it's got to be completed, but we need action within 20 days.
Yeah.
So I think, I'm going to have Matt Carlisle or the code officer go out and visit the site. Maybe you can, make an appointment if you're there, and then let's monitor the progress.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else here? You should come up and see you. Well, that should be. You'll be required to get a demo permit, which I think is $75. Even though most of that product is already on the ground, but to make sure you're getting the right permit. If they start Monday, you're more than welcome the next 2 days to come up and see Matt in the code office.
Okay.
Patrick, anything to add? Here?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anybody else have any comments on the property in Hickory Notch and Gallenbrook? Paul? Anyone? All set? Okay, with that, any further comments, or are you pretty good?
I'm good.
Okay, very good. So we're going to have a motion to close the public hearing by Jared Giordano, seconded by Duan Scantapico. So we have a motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those against? Motion so carried. Okay, thank you for coming in.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll
good luck.
Again, we're looking forward to progress. We just want to clean up and make the neighborhood better for everybody.
I really appreciate that.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, so with that, we're going to not go into our regular meeting. We got quite a few people here that want to talk about budget.
Thank you.
So with that, I think we're going to start with the Senior Center and the Silver Lines with Sheila, if you'd like to have the floor. And
thank you.
Everybody knows Sheila. If you don't,
my name is Sheila Pedersen. I'm the president of the Silver Lining Senior Club here in Catskill. I hope all of you have read my proposal, which I sent to the board at the beginning of this month. As you probably well know, the pandemic has taken a great deal of stress upon everyone, certainly in the country, but on seniors in particular. My group alone, pre-pandemic, we had practically twice the number of members we do now. Their sense of stability, certainly medically, has been challenged by this pandemic. But their sense of self, I think, has also been changed because of the circumstances. And one of the things that's hit us most is mobility, the ability to get around and to get to places, or even the attempt to do so. When I took over as president several years ago, I had a person who was in charge of trips and whatever, and it never occurred to me to get into the particulars of that. But in recent months, my person in charge of travel is retiring due to ill health, and so I'm taking it over. And I thought, well, how hard can this be? So I looked into all kinds of, you know, options for travel to take these people on a day trip. Simple thing. I'm not going to New Jersey, or, you know, I've been out of New Jersey, but not to California, or, you know, out of state. And I was dumbfounded to find out that even a school bus costs between $800 and $900 a day to rent. It's overwhelming. And you add to that the price of whatever is happening in the venue, whether it's a dinner out or a show, or even a free venue, just the price of the bus alone is overwhelming to some of us. So my proposal is asking that the town board provide a subsidy to this senior club to subsidize safe and dependable transportation for several trips during the year. This year we've had none. No trip whatsoever. We couldn't afford it. We couldn't make, you know, payment on it. And last year we had one. If you've read my proposal, you also understand that of the seven senior groups in this area, whether it's Coxsackie, the Mountaintop, Carroll, Athens, everywhere else, every one of them receives a subsidy from their village, town, corporate, or all three. Catskill Civil Linings receives nothing. I have nothing. And so I'm asking that you help us, support us by, you know, providing some kind of subsidy that we can use. I asked for $4,000 because that would maybe four buses, 4 days out of 365 to go somewhere for the senior citizens. These are people who have worked their whole lives, many of whom are native Castilians and have lived here all their lives. So they continue to pay the taxes that everybody else does, even though they're on a fixed income, and they're not making the monies that are coming up. On top of that, when you look into what this pandemic has also wrought in terms of the change in our bills, our utilities, our food, these people are working on subsistence. According to statistics of the Census Bureau, which I added to my proposal, 27% of these people live on food stamps. I know myself, I was a single parent working for a nonprofit. And inevitably, whenever tax time came around, I was always missed out on whatever tax credit I could possibly get. I was always just a little bit too much, and a little bit, I'm telling you, too much. And this is what's happening to the senior population. Their monies are dwindling because of what's being required of them. So I'm hoping that you'll look into this proposal and see it as a possibility. As I stated in my proposal as well, I'm sure there isn't one of you who doesn't know someone who will benefit from this, because this is the senior people. These are your parents, your friends, your, you know, aunts and uncles, and people who want to be able to take a day trip, go somewhere for a few hours, and enjoy a different venue. So I'm hoping you'll look kindly upon this and let us know that we can, you know, count on the town board to help us out for the coming year or years ahead. Are there any questions?
Of all those other municipalities, do they have a separate senior center? I didn't get a chance to look at this.
Every one of them has a place to meet, yes.
But do they have a separate senior center like we do that we fund?
That Athens does. Athens has a Rivertown Senior Center.
Sure.
My name is Al Ram. I live in Athens. I'm president of the Athens Club, also a member of the Catskill Club. Hancock's Hockey Club. Athens, where we meet, is a county building. Coxsackie is a town building. But as Sheila stated, the town village of Coxsackie also subsidizes the club. Athens gets a good amount of money, and we're able to have several buses. bus trips during the year, plus we go to luncheons, four luncheons a year, and with the money that we receive, we're able to a $33 luncheon or dinner like at Pegasus, we charge $15 for the members, you know, and the subsidized, you know, the money that we get from the town or village pays for the rest of it. And
what's your funding if you're a member of Kitsaki?
Yes.
But do you know what the funding level from, say, the town or village?
I know for a fact that they receive more than $4,000 a year just for their transportation. And they also have a senior center in Kitsaki. I talked to the president there.
Right. I could talk to the supervisor in Kitsaki. I don't know if they just fund it, or do they say that we'll pay for the bus? I mean, you know, I don't know how that arrangement works.
According to the transportation person whom I spoke to, she said it was their travel monies, that they get that for travel.
Right. So the town might pay the travel for the busing company directly.
I assume they pay the senior center, the senior group, not the bus company.
The Athens, they send the bill to the town, and the town pays it. The town, $4,600 down of Athens, gives the club, and the village gives $3,300.
Right, because they're not funding the whole senior center.
Right, that was my question. Do they have a senior center?
No, they have it's run by the county.
You use the county building.
It's just the town senior center.
Right, but it's not funded by the town.
Right. No. I mean, so real in our budget, I don't know if it's right off the top of my head, it's probably at least 60, and it's probably closer. I know it's at least 60 in our budget, and it could be probably closer to 65,000. Is, you know, that's how we fund, you know, the existing programs that everybody is welcome to attend and enjoy on a, you know, Monday through Friday type of thing. So I think that's how we spend our money in Castle versus we're just speaking for Athens town and village. They're not expending any money on a facility or programming other than that $4,000 or $5,000.
Well, but the senior center certainly isn't our club's venue. We get 2 hours a month there. We get no coffee, no paper goods. Everything we provide ourselves.
Right.
Nothing is provided at the senior center for us at all.
Right. But all members that participate in your club are welcome to come any day of the week. So we're not really looking at it as a club event. We're looking at it that it's a service and availability for everybody in the community to come and enjoy, and everybody's welcome as a group. And so that's how we spend it. So it's a totally inclusive environment and not a club environment. I think, you know, that's how it.
But so is ours. In other words, any trips we provide are open to any senior or anybody who'd like to go on our trip with us at the senior groups, and that's true of most of the senior groups in the entire area. They open them up. Their members are given first call on them, but everybody is open to it, and that certainly involves anybody in the Catskill group as well. Very few of whom, you know, are really in the senior center per se. More people in our group are there than you know, does anybody in the senior center who isn't a member of that senior group, to be perfectly honest.
Because there are other programs, like Kitsaki, they have line dancing, there's bingo, there's other activities that go on besides just their meetings.
Well, there's activities every day. The same thing
is true here at the senior center. Correct. It's not just for seniors. It's used by all community groups. For you know, political meetings, the polls, and the village meetings, and so on. So it isn't specifically and only. So but as I said, for my group, you get 2 hours a month, and that's it.
But that's not true. The senior center is open every day. You have the right to go to that senior center from the time it opens till the time it closes.
Yes, I know. But
you're saying you only get one to two hours a week or a month.
Right.
That's not true. You can go to that senior center from 9 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
on any given day.
Not really, so it's more like 1:30, isn't it, now?
Right, that's
but the club, yeah. The club itself is also is offering other activities.
Yes.
They do the luncheon, they, you know, we're trying to do trips. And you should come.
I mean, I think the difference, another little difference is, I mean, I guess we would do it for anybody that wanted to sign up, you know, if the senior center, you know, Jamie and the group that's up there, I mean, they started a Friends group as well, Friends of, you know, the Catskill Senior Center, and they've had fundraisers and things of that nature, and unfortunately, they just passed away. And, you know, they're looking, you know, as a potential spot to donate is into that Friends group, that they would, you know, reallocate those funds for trips or whatever, you know, the group up there, you know, so desires it, because they're going to have it. So their own governing body, just like, you know, your group is a different or a separate entity from the town as well. But so that, so I mean, I don't know if we should run it through a senior center for trips or just for a specific group. I mean, I think the thing that we have to be very cautious is that there's a lot of nonprofits, many, many different type of agencies and sports groups and senior groups, and we, you know, we've been through this with the community center in the past. And if we start giving to every individual or nonprofit a request, I mean, where do we begin and where do we end?
Well, I don't know about any others. I just know that every other senior club in this area gets some funding to help them to help their members. There are no trips out of the Catskill Senior Center as yet that I know of, and I have offered to help there in everything.
We all paid for a bus out of our own pockets.
They went for a bus trip. Like,
they go to Chad.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But I mean, I think if I was inclined to do it, I would probably, you know, run it in a line item with our senior center instead of just saying and I think the same situation's happening. And again, without doing further investigative work on it, is that with Athens and Coxsackie, it sounds like they're paying the transportation company directly and not necessarily through the club. And I don't know if that's true, and I don't know what level of funding they do supply. But when you did bus trips in the past, was it all paid for, or does the participant pay a fee of $50 or $70?
Oh, like, yes.
How does that look?
We've always, any of the overnights are all paid for by people. You know, we have paid for all of them because we've never had any subsidy. But in all the other groups, the day trips are funded by the club itself. And then whatever the venue is what the participant pays. And as I said, it's open to everybody.
I mean, it's not a Green County group. I was looking on Facebook in another town, not that far from here. They had a bus trip, but it looks like when they were on their town webpage or Facebook page, they were still, the fee to participate was still $70 to go on the bus trip. And I don't know if it was to a resort in the Catskills and have a day entertainment, maybe make a lunch or, you know, nice dinner, and then the bus brings you back home at the end of the day.
Right, but and my point is that given that, you add to that the price of the bus, it becomes prohibitive for most of the people. That's what I'm trying to
How many people typically would go? So, my parents used to go all the time, so I know that, I know that they would pay for it. But how many people, would it be a bus full?
Well, we certainly aim for that. But generally speaking, I'd say 40 to 45 people, you know, generally speaking. Oh, and less than that, we probably wouldn't fall through, because that's exactly what happens. We can't get a number of people who can afford a bus trip. And we're talking about a day trip. We're not talking about, you know, hotels and dinners and everything overnight. We're talking about just getting out for the day. And it is, you know, it is getting prohibited because of the prices of everything. It's just overwhelming.
Depending upon where we go, some places are more popular, like Bill Roma, down in Sullivan County. They're fabulous and usually fill the bus up 50 to 55 people.
And when you go, what's the fee? Is it completely free, or does each participant?
Depends upon the show, but I would say $60 to $70 per person. But like, you know, the town's paying for the bus, so.
So imagine, see, this is the problem for me and my and the Castilian people. It's more than that for everything because the bus is, you know, so prohibitive. And it just seems to be, you know, overwhelming. I don't know.
So if you put a bus, if you put these trips together, if I'm hearing you a little, if I'm hearing you correctly, is then you're really looking for transportation costs.
Absolutely. That's
not,
what my,
not.
That's exactly what my proposal says, for safe and dependable transportation. That I can, you know, as I said, I look into school buses thinking I could cut the price and go, but as you know, I mean, for any kind of distance, that is not acceptable
and
for seniors.
And you really need a coach bus that has a bathroom.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know, I was thinking I could cut corners and be frugal,
right.
And I'm used to doing that, but this was not to be happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Any further questions, comments?
Well, thank you very much for your time, and I do hope you'll take it into consideration.
Thank you for coming.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll have to take it and get back into this work, put this stuff all together, that senior center budget. Okay, we got Sean and Clayton here talking about IT. How does your funding go, Clayton? Do you keep us up?
We pay for our senior center, so
yeah.
We fund that.
Right.
And then the town clerk runs these bus trips.
Right.
So the town clerk then has fundraisers with community businesses will chip in to help offset the cost.
Right. So,
we would fund the senior center. So now you've got two groups.
One, they can get a grant from the community center for $5,000.
Right, they can get a community center grant.
They can get like that.
So Susan, she goes out and does some fundraising with some of the...
She asks a couple of local people to help offset it. So there'll be a senior trip, and it'll cost $150.
But it's not a club, it's a...
It's the town of Ulster.
Correct.
Is open to, it will not one specific club.
Correct.
The town of Ulster club sponsors.
I don't think they understand that.
Yeah, you don't want to start funding a club.
The right. Club doesn't
fund the club.
No. The club doesn't get the money.
But so when you know, Susan, the town clerk goes out trying to solicit it. She runs the bus trip, collects the $70, because that's what I was referring to.
Mm-hmm.
So Susan collects the $70, and I think she goes on the bus and spends a day with them, right?
Yes.
And everybody has a good time.
It's good for her because the clerk gets
the bus trip.
I think she does it two or three.
I was trying to point out that we can only use the senior center. That's not true. Right. We can go there every day of the week.
So they just have their meetings twice a month. But I don't think they would have them every day anyway.
Her point in this email was that they only get 2 hours a month to use the senior center. You can use that senior center every day of the week.
Of course, but I don't think they even want to use it.
Yeah, she doesn't want to use it. She wants to do the bus trips. And really, if we're going to sponsor bus trips, it should be through JCR director or
it's open to that group.
Correct.
So the funding has to go, and Jamie
right.
would have to orchestrate it. We can't start giving nonprofit individuals money. It's not going to work.
No.
Okay, let's talk IT. That's what we're here for. Thanks for the input.
Oh, you're
I appreciate it.
Sure. So, curious if you passed along all the PDFs?
Yeah, I'm going to just the economics. She printed a few, and
I have a printed one, an extra printed one too. If you want to
burn it. There's two more copies there.
341. I got it on the. I got the. Let's try it on.
Do you want to
print this?
Adult technology.
Well, I'll go in the order that I have, which there's three ones that are printed in the TOC or actually four, and those are from WebDriver. One of them ends in 2677.
2677, I'm on that guy.
Yeah, EOC, like monthly services.
Okay.
So this is effectively the same services and like structure that we've been doing for the past years. The prices have
side. But it's all the same services that are currently being provided to the town. To cover what we've done in the past, like this is for complete service coverage of all the supported items like listed in the monthly agreement. So it is effectively a flat rate like per item. So if there's a PC that has an issue and we come up and we spend 1 hour to fix it, the town doesn't notice a difference. If we come up and spend 5 hours to fix it, the town doesn't notice a difference. The costs are fixed like per unit. Because the individual units that are accounted for in the list are considered fully managed. If there is a change in the environment, like if all of a sudden you said, hey, we're adding five new, we're adding an addition of five new staff, it's accounted for, the cost goes up because we add five units.
Right. Underway. Yeah.
We maintain the same discount that we had last year on that. We kept that discount going forward.
Okay.
Next one's the server, probably. Yep. 678.
Yep, so 678. 678, yep. Mm-hmm. So on here, we had discussed this actually this time last year where we were recommending that in.
Just before you get too in depth with us,
yep.
And Paul, why don't we go cloud?
There's a lot of applications, including like BAS and other stuff, that are hosted here locally. So it's possible that some services could be shifted to cloud, which would mainly be file storage, but inevitably you're going to still need a physical thing here.
Okay.
So when we reviewed it in the past, you were kind of confronted with cloud costs and still maintain.
Okay.
And then you notice on the first one there is a cloud retention. So there is the use of cloud.
For backup service.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're not totally alone. Everything's backed up. So you have the security of that.
No, I understand not having a physical machine and versus having everything in the cloud as much.
Totally about,
Yeah, and for like individual like file sharing, there is the possibility for the town to change some of the 365 licensing and leverage more cloud storage for like documents that you may be sharing between each other. It does have implications on increasing the licensing cost for the people that are using that, but it is a possibility, but it would still remain a small subset.
You have to have a rule.
Yeah. So on that, proceeding to the next thing, we had discussed this time last year that this was the seventh year for your existing server. So next month, actually, the server hits its seven-year mark, which is Dell's official like end of support life. It is possible to extend the warranty out another year in what they call post-standard support. However, it would be recommended to move forward either this year, if it's in the budget, or as soon as we hit 24, to one, get on a cycle where you're not continuing to kind of like push out hardware expense, and then also the host server that's here, the operating system is outdated, so there'd be additional costs in upgrading what you have in place anyway. So it's an opportune time to replace the physical hardware and have the operating system upgraded.
What would it cost to extend warranty for another year?
$400. No, but that's the warranty itself.
No, but I'm just saying, though, if you get another year out of it, right? $400 versus $11,000.
It's $400.
My book, that's a deal.
Next year, we're going to have to pay $12,000.
I know. The price is going to go up. That's just me. You know what I mean? If I could buy a warranty for $400 and it guarantees me another year out of something, I'm spending that $400 versus the $11,000. You know what I mean?
What is repairability? What is repairability? It may break, it might be a warranty break, but is it repairable?
Yes, if we get a warranty from Dell, they'll have a part here typically within 24 hours, sometimes 48, post standard support. So yes, it's repairable. If it was just that the warranty was expiring,
I'd be more comfortable because of the operating system is officially in the support this month from Microsoft. In order for us to be comfortable, we need the warranty replacement and additional labor efforts to upgrade the base operating system. So the two of those combined makes it much easier to say, if we can do it this year, it's like two less headaches. We don't kick the warranty down, but then also the operating system comes in tow with the new service.
To his point, you're right, if it was just the warranty, but what comes with the new machine would be the newest operating system, so you wouldn't have to upgrade that either. So that would be another expense that you would have over that warranty extension, if you didn't put a new...
And well, how much is just the operating system?
The actual Microsoft licensing would be about $1,500 to $1,800, and then because this would be like a non, this isn't just part of standard support, there'd be our labor involved, so there'd be like another 10-15 hours on top of that, which would be another $1,000. So you're up into the 3-4 range.
So that person would...
Yeah, it wasn't just willy-nilly, like we didn't...
Right. So no, that's, I wasn't. That's not what I was implying. The 10.8, though, that's fully installed and completely, or is that just the price of the internet?
No, that's fully installed and completed. And just to note, I put the server price on here so it was easier to like kind of recognize the cost of this.
Right.
But the server itself would be purchased directly from Dell under the state OGS contract. So I put it on here, and that would be the price, and in some of the additional PDFs is the full breakdown of the server from Dell, but it's that cost, the $85.62. And when last year when we had discussed this, the server upgrade was estimated to be about $14,000. So this time last year, that was a rough estimate for the upgrade.
Seems like we're contractor. So we waited another year, Michael got his four.
Talk about this, and we say, oh, we'll do it next year, we'll do it next year. Now we're going to pay $400 for an extended warranty. We'll do it next year, and then we'll do it the year after that.
But it's still running.
But it still works.
But the thing is, I think
spending has a price, and
the
new one doesn't make sense.
Right.
No, I know. But you're saying
we kicked it down, but we can't. This time around, it worked. We saved $4,000. From 14,000. So it worked then because COVID, because of that supply chain issue and things like that. Yeah. I mean, now at this point, it starts to make more sense.
I was going
to
say, that's...
Not to say wait again, I'm just saying, I think at this point in time, it might start to make sense if we're going to load it up with different operating systems and those things. And then...
Last year we agreed, I think that was mentioned, we knew that pricing was high and it was long-term to get it. What's happening now is the market is stable and pricing is stable right now. And with the OGS contract price, it's good. We don't know what the OGS pricing will be next round. So,
just out of curiosity, has anybody priced it without OGS? Sometimes OGS isn't the cheapest, higher.
Dell, surprisingly, this year at least, is phenomenal, maybe is a little strong, but good, like great pricing compared to...
We've done this since...
Right, if it was cheaper, you would have came in with a different program.
It's funny, the computers don't work, big difference.
No,
they haven't. I just bought you.
It's the server.
$1,040.
It's the servers where...
Not OGS for $1,090. Well, that's what I'm saying, it's not always cheap. Right.
OGS is higher.
Yeah.
The
prices of OGS are getting higher.
One of the line items that surprises me the most is actually the service. I think Dell is just kind of like throwing it in. Because
the 7 years?
The 7 years is what we requested that they do so that, you know now, we're going to have this conversation 7 years from now. Like, that's a big kick down the road.
Yeah.
But also, like...
We'll be here with that conversation.
With some of our other clients, when we've been doing the OGS pricing, they've given me 5 and then given me 7 year pricing. And even for the great warranty level, it's been like the cost increase has been so fractional. They're just like, of course, yes, 2 more years.
Yeah.
So,
which which, yeah, it comes to dividing it by the seven rather than dividing it by just the 1 year. And you've gotten very good service out of your machine, and it's done quite well. And we can do this in a controlled environment this way. Where when we do have those places that they do have trouble, then we lose the ability to do it in a controlled, managed transition. And if you are going to keep having a computer, which you will, that was one of the things we would hope you would, now we would encourage you. Where last year we weren't this strong of an encouragement, this year we're encouraged, this is because of the 2012 server, because of the different things, this is the year to take advantage of this, we believe. As your consultants, we believe this is the year.
Like I said, a couple of years ago, I wasn't on right. board with it. But with the reduction in cost, it starts to make sense.
One more thing I want to mention.
I mean, sooner or later, you got it right. Sound like breaking down alongside the road when you tell when you get all those additional expenses and downtime.
But because of the maintenance agreement you have with us, back to the original page, you're one of the lowest we have when it comes to 0.3.
So the labor to actually do this cutover has been added by previous years of work that we've done. So just a very kind of high-level outline. The server here has multiple virtual servers on it. All of those virtual servers have actually been upgraded past where they need to be in previous years. So right now we're just mainly replacing the physical server and the base operating system. So whereas a couple other migrations we're doing this year are 40 to 60 hours of labor efforts, it's going to be about 10 to 15 to do this one. Yeah.
So we've migrated over, I think, on some of those virtual servers.
If we were to move as much as we could to the cloud, would we still need this big of a machine?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You're at the base level as far as storage goes. So compared to some other municipalities, you're actually already using one that I've been working on the past couple of weeks. You're a fifth of the amount of data they have. So
you don't have police on yours, correct?
Correct.
So that's a huge savings.
Yeah.
Right. But isn't the cloud more secure than? No. So why is everybody going to the cloud then? Why is everybody switching to? You're saying that it's more secure and it's less.
You're never going to get me to say that cloud is more secure than having an in-house server. More convenient, 90% of the time. More accessible by people, yes. Less management, certainly. If you had a cloud platform that somebody here understood, maybe we would have to do less physical work, but not. Not for my opinion, more secure.
And there's an issue also with some of the programming that you run. When you put it on a cloud base, it's who actually owns that program, because it's running on someone's computer. I know it's leased space, but it becomes a question. Municipalities are struggling with that, because you're supposed to own your stuff, you're not supposed to lease anything. So storage is being allowed for cyber stuff, but to put a whole municipality totally in the cloud right now is... not that it can't be done, but it's become questionable. And you have, as long as you have power, you have access to your server. And right now, if you have a cloud base, you have to have power and internet connectivity. So you add one more dynamic to that. So that's why we still are in the groove and feel that's the best foot for a municipality. And you own it. And the rental on a cloud space is not cheap. I mean, there's still businesses that are being cheap and they're going with their own server because they're trying to save money. Because it's back and forth. Okay?
Well, because the upgrade licenses for the Microsoft 365 are cheap.
Right.
And when you talk about 365, then you're more purely talking about files.
Which we don't do a lot.
And then outside of files is the clerk software, the BAS, same with the tax system. There's two databases that run here for those systems. And then there's QuickBooks on the finance side and some other stuff. So, does that any other questions specific to the server?
Yeah, it's our only point on that would be if you can do it in 2023, there's a benefit to that because this price doesn't fall over to 2023. We have to record it for 2024, right?
Right, Dell, I don't know what they wouldn't give me a straight answer when the OGS pricing could change. greatly improved. So about 3 to 4 weeks, we've been getting a physical service.
At OGS, we might get, and I don't know, it seems like we get quotes from Dell directly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll see those contracts, you know, in there too, like when they expire.
They're weird.
Yeah,
all time takes expire.
And then there's caveats too.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, if the keyboard.
I mean, I don't know how everybody. It's a 7-year thing. I would be inclined not to put it in our normal budget because it's a 7-year thing, and we do have to do our.
Well, how much do we have left in our IT account for this year?
After the monthly, we should have like $7,500 left.
All right, so that's almost the price of the server.
I think we should look at using some of that ARPA money.
Well, I'm just saying
we have. It would be better to expend it out of that line and budget transfer into that, rather than spending it directly out of ARPA, just a little inside of trade information.
Why? What's the difference?
When it's audited, the board made a decision to use it, and you transferred into IT, and then the bill came out of IT. So it's always clear that way.
I thought there was some other.
Well, because ARPA is temporary funding, it's not ongoing. So it's highly recommended that you do expense out of that account, but then fund that account through budget transfer.
You want something like the senior center in that, right?
Yeah.
That account.
Yeah.
And that keeps it so you can show all your ARPA specifically where you transferred to. So
that's how we do it.
Yeah. Thanks, Lee.
That's free advice from that was not my job.
Free is the we got somebody that's on top of it. But it's nice to have your expertise in
it's all just learning from many
people.
So are you going to pass a resolution to do that tonight, or are you going to...
Do you want to do that now? We'll
are you in the committee meeting? Just hold it out?
Hold that out. I mean, we're in the budget. I'm going to get going on with the resolution.
So then, on to the next one, 2680 from us. So this is something that we had also discussed last year. I think we wouldn't really push on it too much, but we're just going to re-up the conversation, which is that going to security in the cloud, we would recommend that the town invest in some additional email protections. This is a third-party product that we have. It's called Avanon, and it basically adds an additional layer of protection. So when an email flows into the town, it passes through this third party for more analysis. It's like malware protection, spyware, and then they also have a measure of user protection where if they see that a user account has all of a sudden started logging in from whatever, Canada or something too many times, it'll flag their account, it'll lock down their account. So if there's a compromise, it'll take action on that. The only downside from like a cost standpoint, other than that you actually have to pay for it, is that it can't be selectively chosen. Like we have to assign it to everybody. And because of all the ambulance people, like your user count is up to 53 accounts.
I mean, that's what hurts us in there because we have all these employees that work part time and we set up them for training occasionally.
I'm all right if it's a more secure system because. Just for this happened today to me. So I work for Green County. Mm-hmm. I got an email from our charter's office asking if I sent this email to them wanting to change my direct payment deposit to this new account. So they used my actual email, pbosberg@discovergreen.com, but they left the E off it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is why we're so. This is super important, and this is if you talk about the ambulance people, there some of them who are part-timers or whatever could become the most vulnerable, but then you have this situation, every municipality's got that exact same scam, where you sent in, send change.
Oh, they had everybody's name at the office over there, they had my name, my title, my phone number, everything on the email.
Yeah.
And is this the one that does the phishing test? Does this one do that?
No, there is
a cyber for VPNs, though.
this doesn't, this is purely
for email protection. Right. So that if you log on and you have a VPN, right?
For personal privacy?
I use it on my cell phone.
Yeah, as long as you're not choosing Mexico or South America.
Right. It's okay. So in other words, if you're using a Jersey VPN or whatever, you'll be okay.
If it's consistent and it's in the States or even with like a trackable travel, so like if an end user goes from New York to Europe, but it's like something that the system can see, it won't necessarily flag it as like bad because we don't go heavy on that.
Like bus companies do in Montreal, they deal with Volvo and trucking, if you have a Volvo issue and sometimes you're connecting to Montreal and Quebec, that's allowed. You know what I mean? So that's reasonable and understandable. But we would I have to put the salesman hat on for a minute, but also back to the talent thing too. It was at the last year's AOT meetings, they talked about this email vulnerability. People answering an email, this would catch. There's a possibility you wouldn't catch it.
Nothing's perfect, but effectively one of the more straightforward things that this does is it does impersonation analysis. So like right now we have a set of manual rules in place for the town where like we have all the board members and some of the key staff members added. So like if you try and send from, say, an email address, I think some people have ran into this where if you try and send from your personal account into the town, it'll flag it. It'll say, like, whoa, you're not sending from inside the town. That's something that we have to do manually, so if there's a staff change and it's very hard with the AMOs and trying to add people, this one of the things this system does is automatically go, okay, these are all the email accounts. Somebody from outside the town is using the same name that matches somebody else.
Can I just ask a curiosity question? Because the ambulance people are using their personal emails. We don't have a lot of @townofcasco.ny.govs, or we.
There's 53.
We have 53 of them.
Do you think some of them are people that have left and we haven't notified you? Are we supposed to notify you that they're no longer here? Because I can't think of 53 people that would have
@townofcasco.ny.govs.
Huh? Well, like all of our training are just mock. They're not. We set them up as like a mock name @townofcasco.ny, and like they don't really have an email address. So that's why I'm wondering if I can maybe get a list and we can go over it and just kind of we've had a few people leave that do have @townofcasco.ny, so if you don't know they're gone, obviously we can have those removed, but I'd be curious to see who that list is.
That's a due diligence that should be done before it's finalized.
Yeah, okay.
That would be part of the setup where we have to do the setup thing. Mm-hmm. We'd have to.
Well, that also impacts, so the 53 count matches on the very first one, which is the standard monthly service, there's already accounts, like there's already a cost, so if you think
that
number's not right. Really look at it then.
Okay. That will affect you. So it's $133 monthly cost?
Yes.
Yes.
And then it's just on the one time?
One time, yeah.
Based on your number of emails.
And if you, when you have an insurance audit, you may want to make, if you choose to do this, make sure they know you did, because it may affect your insurance premium if you prove you have security like this. Right. I said may.
The more security you have, the less risk you have of the bank.
Yeah. We had, just a very side example, a few weeks ago, we have a relatively small accounting firm that we do work for. They only have 8 staff members. And they got a very similar message to what you're talking about. And the owner was like, what is going on here? This person started a week ago. And we're getting messages, somebody pretending to be them. We found out, based on the title that they were using, the staff member posted to LinkedIn that they had been hired. And they said, I'm so glad that I'm working at so-and-so. And within a week, somebody took their information off LinkedIn and sent stuff to the payroll department saying, oh, before I get my first check, I want you to change the account so it gets deposited into my account. So, it's
It was not a good day for me today, because then after that, I got a phone call saying that there was unauthorized charges in my
Isaac's coffee, but I'm trying to see if the rules not really on the right one here tonight.
So if there's no other questions on that, we could jump to the last.
So we're just going to follow, we're going to get a list so we can really filter through who we have and who we have. And this would be a 2024 thing, or that would start right away too?
You could implement it whenever you would prefer to, like it could start in January or start in 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get a list and we'll go through that. All right, let's do the next one. Sure.
So the next one is like a spreadsheet in a PDF that's it's just TOC IT assets. There's not, I mean, we don't need to go into
that. Is that the one that the
PC breakdown?
Yeah. With Petrianni and Danny and all that.
Exactly.
Okay.
So all that is it's a breakdown of current assets, and Dale asked me to flag 5 systems for potential replacement. On that list in orange is 5 systems that belong to what I kind of arbitrarily considered key people. So those are systems that if the town is going to push forward with replacing 5, which is a great idea, we would replace those 5 systems. Now, Sam has been pushing for a new system himself, so the thought would be that we would give Sam one of the new computers, and then we would take his and essentially kind of push it down to And then, for instance, like both Liz and Kirsten are on there, the same thing would happen with them. We would give them new systems so that they have a new, fully warranted computer. And then Kirsten's current computer would get moved to be her backup. And then her backup, that's the oldest computer at Town Hall, would get officially decommissioned.
Yeah, just on that, everybody's here. Because I guess we got some software or proprietary information on there that we can't access. So you can put that on the, it's in the cloud, so we can access from that from it's.
Not
so it doesn't have to. Well, it's on our server.
It's on your server here, right?
Let's say that. So it doesn't. We don't have to access it from the oldest CPU that we have in the building.
Correct. Yes. The oldest CPU we can officially retire. What we did was that old accounting software, which is called.
Was it enhanced?
Enhanced, yeah. So that was on a PC that was here, and then what we did, that's been fully converted to a virtual machine. Mm-hmm. So in addition to the 2 virtual servers that we have this very old Windows 7 virtual machine that's purely there so that Pearson can access the old finance information. But that resides on the server, and it's being backed up with the server, so that's independent of the physical machine. But then she's able to access it from those physical machines.
Have you been using it?
Yeah, I do. Like when people come back for retirement stuff.
Oh, do you use it on your new computer or do you go over to that old computer?
They've hooked me up now that I can access it.
You should be able to do it from both. But
I do the email from that computer. Yeah. I don't know if I do any apps from that computer. But yeah, there's probably a way I just haven't needed. I usually walk right over and do
it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Before we get to that one.
But I do utilize it
right. Still. Right. Yeah. So we would want to make sure that we have a trial that that Kirsten can access it from her primary PC.
Yeah, effectively, and like I said,
we'll keep that in the closet just for
her current primary PC.
Do not destroy.
Put that one in the basement.
But what's good about that other view is that the old software is being now on the server and it's backed up, so you have actual backup of Windows 7 program. Good.
As long as you're comfortable that we have that data, because you're just, again, it's mm-hmm. it's our archives. And
it is, yeah.
We need it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are the 5 computers of note to be replaced. The Dell quotes for the 5 PCs. Just open that up.
Is that another attachment?
Who wants the curve monitor?
That's the big joke.
Is that the one that you talked about?
So right. Just to be clear, there's
44
just to be clear. There's three separate Dell quotes. One of them is for the server. One of them is for the desktops, which they're all standard. All 5 are the same. And those are 9 per computer. The one with the monitors, I went to the OGS rep and I said, we've been having conversations about upgrading monitors. Just give me a selection so that we have pricing on them. The reason that I mentioned the curved monitor is because when I was talking to Dale, he said that was a code?
No, in the assessor's office, because Audrey purchased a couple of new monitors, you know, during a COVID period, so she has the, you know, the microphone and all that include all in one. And you know, we're saying, hey, well, maybe you don't need, you know, a monitor, or maybe when you get a new one, we can give, like, and you know, and the supervisor's office, we don't really have a good monitor per se to do all that. And she said, well, let's get into a situation now where they would want to pull up more duct, you know, whatever's going on with her software. So she kind of relayed to me that she would like to have, you know, potentially two monitors.
Ten.
Yeah, so all it is a
So this is the follow-up on having two monitors.
Right.
She wants suggested going with a wider monitor where you could split it and have two documents up at once.
And that's
so that's how we got to the curved monitors, I guess.
I love two screens. My personal preference has evolved from two screens into one. So that's it, if it's a wide format screen, it's effectively the same real estate of two, but without the bar in the middle throwing you off. That's the reason that I mentioned it. With that said, it's certainly not necessary, but those were the options that I wanted to get pricing on.
Now, well, I just bought one of these for myself. It's the Samsung N700, I think it is. It's $300 on Amazon.
Yep.
32-inch monitor, but I split it down the middle to run two different Excel spreadsheets. Or
yeah, you just slide them to the side. Yeah. Same idea. The only difference is that because of the way that the Dell stuff works with OGS, OGS can't sell any of their consumer-grade monitors. So all of the ones listed on here are ones that Dell considers to be their pro-grade screens. So like the curved one specifically is higher than if you were to get like consumer-grade one. With that said, all of the ones that mentioned conferencing are nice because they do come with a built-in camera and speakers.
Yeah, like the 27-inch.
The 27-inch is actually a great price.
So it's cheaper than the 24-inch.
Which ones are cheaper? These are the
OG. They do that sometimes. Like I started buying all 24-inch monitors because they were cheaper than the
22s.
Yeah.
Which is very good. This 27-inch is more expensive than the 24-inch.
No, we're talking about the video conferencing.
This page here?
Yeah.
Keep going.
So the video conference.
$300.
$300. It's a dollar cheaper.
So like I got, is that PowerEdge to T5500? That's probably something.
No, that's a server.
You gotta go to the next.
Close one. The one that you want that ends in 0821.
21.
But they're not POC's one, right? They're OSGS.
OGS.
Desktop and monitor.
Let's try this one.
That's the budget.
It's funny with the 24-inch, you're trying to get somebody a 20, and it costs more than a 24-inch.
Yeah,
isn't
it? 27.
It's because of the,
cheaper.
I guess, the
four. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Imagine what
each monitor has. All three monitors
are
on the one.
Yeah, they're all on the one. And I took, because I said, I let them know that we would come back to them once you guys had the pricing and had time to kind of review internally who would need what. We can go back to them if you wanted to even get them through OGS and have them provide an actual quote.
And on all those OGS things, we're not selling it to you. Dell is selling it to you.
Correct. We're not ordering directly through Dell.
There's
you order it for us, or we would make it
straight
to you.
If you provide me a PO number, either I or you can send that to their rep, and then they'll just send it based on the PO number.
So we got the 27-inch, and then we got the 34 curve.
Yeah, I mean, with the pricing that they provided, that would be really the only two that I would suggest. Unless you really had somebody that just needed a 24-inch to go with another existing screen.
Yeah. The 27's is not a good way to go. Do you like this? I mean, the 27's, that's not big enough to do the split that you were talking about.
It depends on the person, and this is a what's called a QHD monitor, so it's slightly higher than like a standard TV, like which is a 1080p.
So it's 27-inch QHD. It's the screen that I would use at home, and I comfortably do two web pages. Two Excel spreadsheets is a bit rough, depending on how wide.
How wide is the one that we spoke about? You said it's a little, what's that, like a 30-something-ish?
It's 34.
And yours is curved too?
It's 34, but it's wide 34, so as opposed to like a 16 by 10, which is more.
And that's the one that they got for $600 in?
Yes.
Rather than that Phoenix.
I think it's rather.
It does.
There's a priority back to with
the normal.
I've seen some offices where certain people want to stay with two because of what they're doing.
We all run.
But then there's like the tax, some tax assessors are like looking at maps and they're sliding things, and he and Joe both have the curved screen. I don't know who got it first, but now we have other people in the office looking at them. Oh, these are actually nice.
Things easier on your eyes.
Yes.
It's kind of there.
I could just work test it.
The other thing
does it makes your job a little more easy.
With the Dell ones, just to know on the P part, if you do take a consumer one and you put it next to a Pro, the Pros always have a vertical adjustment on the stand, and they'll also do a tilt. The consumer ones might not have either. Kind of depends on what model of consumer. And then the other thing too is some of the consumer ones are VA panel type, and they're harder to see when you're like off angle. So I don't like those for dual monitors. But the monitor stuff, like I said, it wasn't intended to be a quote to like, hey, sign off on this. I'm just like, hey, these are the options. Who would these larger screens potentially work for? And then kind of go from there.
I mean, I think if we're going to start to place monitors, they all be the same. So if we're going to do the Dell 27-inch, turn monitor from here on out to Dell 27.
Doing it all be in video conference.
Yes.
Well, I mean, yes. But you take the conference and all, how much is that going to save?
You need the conference, and maybe we have that, I think. I use this one.
Even without the camera, the speakers end up being the headache, because a lot of the good monitors don't come with a speaker thing, right. So you end up having to either use the speaker and
then get extra space or
That curved screen thing does bring with it positives and negatives. If one person sees that somebody has one,
well, that's not
okay. You were aware of that, but
Christian, you got one.
Sam's got the curved one.
But there's some places where there are some applications where it really does matter. So we don't sell them, you get them through OGS, but whether you buy a Samsung or whatever, if you're going to do that, get the better. Like if you do go curved, get the better. If you have flat screens, those are great, those 27s. They're standard.
The ones that we should be getting, those $1,000 ones, is that what you're recommending?
Yeah, so that's like a standard. I mean, there are better specifications than the computers we usually have there, so there will be performance increases. Of course. And then I believe we had them up the.
And the stands are on a different.
To know on the monitor quote, there's an all-in-one stand. Those are optional, but these are microcomputers. And what that stand allows us to do is basically bolt the computer to the back of that. Yeah. And then it consolidates everything into one kind of thing on the desk.
What would you recommend in the stand?
If you do, you can't do the stand with the curve.
No, that's a lot. 27. 27 flat.
27 flat. With the stand.
And the same
curve
you get over the stand.
Yeah.
It cleans up their workspace.
It sure does. You have less trouble and you have much shorter wire.
Yeah. Okay. And it's preferable, I think I might mention this to Dale, but absolutely preferable to do that than buy an all. Because they do have all of them of the same size.
On the monitor, I use the under desk mounts to them.
We do that as well.
It's less dust that way.
And eventually, did you give us a price for the install on them somewhere? Or that's
not if we're replacing the existing computers, we've been installing those under the
I think that's something we should do sooner than later. pricing and it goes to five?
I can't speak to the stability of the pricing. It's about what
we should buy.
Yeah, a few months ago, we priced out similar computers for somebody else, and they were about the same, so I don't see them changing all that much.
Yeah, these were government or commercial applications, so it's the same. You're just getting a better price.
And we may even, you could clean up a couple of these and put them up at the senior center for people to use.
Well, so out of the five that I marked on the list, we would want to move Kearson's to spare and fully retired her old.
Yeah.
Liz, I'm not sure about the spare, but her current one is usable. But the idea is that if we were to go back to that list above the five oranges, were like five very old systems. Whether or not they could be used in the senior
center. Well, the one on their phone says decommissioned already. Is that what it was?
Yeah, that actually, I put decommissioned because that's already not in use.
Okay.
Yeah.
And one we got to stand alone at the ambulance building that they do some reports on.
Yeah, so one of the ones in the five was George's computer, and then we would take George's and put his into the either the break room or the primary room.
What are you looking for the senior center? Do you have a special need, or is it?
No, it's just the ones up there. Really, they're old hand-me-downs, and maybe just something for them to browse the internet.
Oh,
yeah.
So you're saying so when they come in,
it's just for the shower, so they have a little bit of browsing of it, and
two hours a week, right?
Yeah, two hours a week. And we have technology training.
That's a good too.
Which
they have 9 games per Promethean board up there.
Yeah. SmartBoard,
is anybody using it
now? That SmartBoard is
limited use. How many computers are at the senior center now for them to use?
Three.
We got an Apple and one additional. But I don't think they're overly used. We had an Apple that was a hand-me-down. I think they use that. And we have an old one that was recycled from Jackson. I don't think that one's really.
We can try to make sure there's at least one that somehow.
If we can throw one up there that's functional.
Because
they'll have like an IBM style, and then they'll have one Apple to work with.
The Mac is old. I mean, that can't get a new Mac operating system, but it's functional.
Yeah, they might just play games on their standalone games. I don't know what they do, but it would be nice to have two units that work pretty well for
them. They don't have a Wii up there playing on that thing?
They
did.
They used to play
all the time. Well, now that they got the new
Permethean. Okay.
That's what we should buy.
One other question about ambulance fiber here.
Mm-hmm.
We're on fiber now?
Yeah.
Fiber here, fiber at the
ambulance.
Yes.
We're on fiber, but we just have to go anywhere with the focus.
So George gave me the thumbs up about a week ago. There was some delay in my part following up with him. We gave him a demo phone. We gave him a phone that connects to the phone system here 2 months ago. He's made test calls on it. His only thing was that they're going to, they'll have to adjust to dialing the extra numbers because you have to dial the 911 again and stuff like that. But he said as long as we can get him the same stable line for the fax and the security line, which the idea would be to move that to Mid-Hudson.
But yeah, security, we're looking at options over there.
Yeah, and then
eventually be cellular.
And then we cut over the existing ambulance areas to town hall.
And we'll save a bunch of
them. Yeah, the only thing that I need to finalize with him is Marty, who's one of our other guys, he said that George identified a location that might not have cabling where he would want to add a phone if we're going to make changes. So we're going to go, there might be a potential need for a cable run in the building to support that phone. Or potentially going with like a cordless option.
We'll do that now. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's got a
lot of phones. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It would just be a matter of where it would go. And the thing which I
was looking to get rid of the phone there too.
But then also like there's a cordless that that Liz has here, we could put something similar in there if they needed just to be able to move around the building or something like that.
Yeah. Right. And the cemetery we spoke a couple days ago or a week ago. Mm-hmm. It might just be better just to go with a Mid-Hudson
to have them there.
Well, they are in the process of running fiber down all those roads. So.
Okay. But even regardless, I mean, you can turn that number and port that over to Mid-Hudson.
Yeah, because we'll get off the bag of five completely.
And then, and same thing with alarm systems, we had a little discussion about that. It might be a wise thing to go sell or down the road when we upgrade them.
security system's on cell, it means that you don't have two separate people pointing fingers at each other.
Right.
If it stops working, it's the security company's
right.
problem, period.
Right.
And it isn't, well, so the internet's not working right, or the phone's not working
right.
I got that right now at the senior center. They can't dial it.
Did you talk to them about going looking at the gas system?
Not these guys, no.
No?
No.
It's an IT thing, isn't it?
Well, I thought the company that does the gas lines was he was going to look at it.
Oh, he's going to look at it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a connectivity problem. Right? If I need you, we'll talk about that one.
Sure.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
And we appreciate the business. That's what we want. The other thing, I don't know all the technicals, but I do know the business side. We do appreciate your business.
And we appreciate it. I mean, we don't see much of, you know, but Sean's the front guy for us, and he does a good job. And he's there when we need him, that's for sure. And I appreciate it, Sean.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, you're in your budget meeting now. It is. Yeah. Yeah. It's a workshop. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I understand the work that he does, but I also understand and acknowledge the work that all of our other employees do.
My comment on that is that we've got a study with Ronnie Travers that we pay to do our HR work, and she's done multiple towns. And prior, 5 years ago or 6 years ago or whenever it was, the building inspector, code officer, was at the same level as the assessor. And I think the workload, frankly, is higher in the code office than it is in the assessor's office, for sure. I mean, I think we're demonstrating that now by saying we can do the job at half the amount of time. So we're going to cut. So they're saying, and everybody goes above and beyond. I would view it as we're not viewing it as an individual performance. We're viewing it as what that job is valued at in the marketplace. Everybody does a good job, but again, we're not in a pay per performance mode here. That would be a better way to do business, but we're not in a pay per performance mode. We're really what's the marketplace for that position. I also feel that we made a commitment last year that we brought him up, or that position up as the individual that was in the position, because now we're talking individual, wasn't trained. And I guess if you start a new employee that has no background in that business, maybe that level of...
We started him off lower.
Right, exactly. So now we're 2 years in it. He's not only the building inspector, and when we did that with Ronnie, you have building inspectors in government, and then you have a code officer in government that are full time, and then you have there's multiple facets of it. You also, I mean, that's maybe popular now, but he's also involved with the sewer in Catskill. I mean, because we don't have an anointed sewer manager, and so one's coming up, right? He's working on Weston Acres right now with the guy, on Dr. Wax's old house. About getting grinders in there and getting easements and things of that nature. So it's a lot more to the job than I think maybe needs the eye.
I do remember we had a conversation last year.
We did have that conversation.
Bringing him up, because we gave him the regular raise in January, and then we gave him another raise in August after his anniversary. I don't ever remember talking about giving him a double-digit percentage raise the following year.
We didn't talk, because we talked about how many grades. It didn't talk about percentages. It talked about we didn't talk about budget. We've given our double digits. And last year, we gave a lot of double digits. Everybody that wasn't brought up at an 8.7, and then they went into scale. So we did give out double-digit raises last year. So it's not about double. To me, it's about...
We're giving away set and moving up a grade.
No, we can bring them down to grade zero, if that's true. Whatever that next... I'm okay with that. I don't have that in front of me. But whatever base step is in there, we can... That's what I'm saying. On step one, to get them in that grade category.
So my only concern would be that if the job's becoming bigger, when jobs become bigger, it doesn't necessarily mean paying someone more. It means looking at hiring another person in that area. So
right, we lost the full part-time guy, and we still haven't advertised for that guy.
We asked to have an advertised letter 2 meetings ago.
It's on the website.
Is it on the website?
Somebody came in today for an application.
Okay, good. I apologize for that.
Yeah. So I need it. We still need additional help. But it's still what the market value of the job is. I can't see how you had the job in 2015 or 16 or whatever, and they were comparable jobs in the same grade, and now we're reluctant to do that. And
I'm not reluctant to do that. I just want to be aware, for everybody, make them aware that it might at some point come to hiring another person.
And I think as we grow, and if money and funding is available, I had that conversation with Pearson today. Maybe at some point we need another full-time person in there. I mean, there's a lot out there. It depends how much work we want to get done.
Oh, there's a lot out there.
Right. And...
Well, then do we put another line in here for another part-time?
But again,
I think we stay on task.
Well, I have a problem.
But stay on task. It's not worried about another line. We're addressing that one, and then we can address the next line. But... We did the same thing in the court system when we gave raises there, and then it was only so much that sponge could absorb, and we put additional help on. I can say
Troy, when he left here, he was making 24 or 25 as the assistant, and it's on the town of Hurley webpage if anybody would like to verify it. He's making $33 an hour. And the guy they hired to be the code officer, and I think it's our building, one or the other, not both, is $77,000. And the person that had that job in Hurley went to New Paltz, and they're making $90. So it's up, you know, if you don't want to pay somebody, that's fine. And when they're not here, that's...
I just have to say one thing. My comment on it is that he only requested 5.7.
And then my comment to that is because he didn't have the chart. He doesn't come into your office or my office and say, "Now look at the chart." Other people look at the chart. I mean, I think the chart for transparency purposes should be given to everybody.
It should be in everybody's mailbox.
It should be in everybody's mailbox. Maybe the chart should be eventually on our webpage. Maybe our union contract should be transparent and be on our webpage, meaning the SEA.
Right, but if we gave him the chart where he would have been at, he would not be in the next doing...
Well, he wouldn't...
He would have skipped seven steps.
I'm saying his ask would have been different.
I don't think
it would
have been next level.
That's not it.
10 steps.
Well, so we turned down
for a business. And last year we gave them more than, because everybody, again, did you do a salary investment?
Yeah, George's salary is probably well below anywhere.
I don't know. The year before he got more than he asked for. I don't know what he
got. That job in any other municipality is probably $100,000 a year.
I would say let's look at a paper performance schedule. If person's worth it, I would pay.
Well, he manages 42 people.
I mean, I'll talk about personnel issues.
Well, one of the justifications that you think he should be the level of the assessor is that
I just told you, we hired an HR person, we pay her, she's a professional. She did this study for the town. She didn't give us a suggestion. She told me directly, not a suggestion. We can do whatever we want, but that's what those jobs pay. And actually, the code officer in her study, which was New Paltz, and it was East Greenbush and a few others in Saratoga, there was 15. And the code officer or the building inspector was actually a higher rate of pay than the assessors.
Right, but how long were they there for their tiers?
That was the average of everybody that she studied. So it was step one, step 10, 5 years in different, and vast in different. It was a educated, well thought out, controlled study. If you just don't want to give the guy the money because whatever happens around here, then I think
we're giving everybody 3.5. I don't understand why he deserves.
Well, because what ended up happening last year, we had a conversation with the individual.
This board never told him he was going to get double digit raise.
That's true. But we did talk about grade level. We never.
I don't recall that either.
Does anybody else recall any of that conversation?
We never talked to him because he never came to one of our budget meetings.
Did we talk about it?
Did we talk about it and give information
to him?
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. So he wasn't here. So if you want to sugarcoat everything, he wasn't here, but we discussed it. I happened to be the supervisor at the time, and I am now. And so when things happen in a board meeting, it's the supervisor's job to relay that information to others or put an action plan into place to get things that we vote on into a fruition and move projects forward. So as the role as a supervisor, after having conversations with everybody that's in this building, or at least at the front table,
how much is his insurance buyout?
What's that got to do with the job? That's nothing to do. How about you? You got insurance here. You're making more than everybody.
Because that's when I was elected, yes.
So should we change that and change that potentially?
We haven't changed it since I've been on the board.
Well, maybe we should do it as when the terms end, and then you read up or done. But if you want to get into all those other things, I'm going to have a conversation about it.
Well, he's
going to
double the rate and a buyout.
The buyout has nothing to do with what his value is to that they see saving us money by being in a buyout.
Right, that's true. When the world I come from, a lot of people, you know, for years I was on my husband's insurance, he's had better insurance, so I had a buyout.
And that didn't value you.
And teachers typically will hold the insurance for their families. So they all get a buyout, and they have the best union, one of the best unions. So, I mean, they pay a lot of money, you know what I mean? Like, people get paid. So that big one thing has anything to do with you.
And the buyout, I think, now the next time around, we do the employee manual, that will change because we changed that in the CSCA contract, so that's not going to be as lucrative as it is today. But again, I would say, you know, that's what they signed up for. We got George's in the same boat as that. You know, we got other employees that take the buyout, and that's what we have. It's not about what the compensation.
So back to the grade. So he was hired at a grade 7, and we want to move him to a grade 8. Is that what we're saying?
I don't have that far.
Yes.
I don't know if he was hired at. We didn't know what. Let's throw him out.
6.
He wasn't hired at any grade level because we didn't have grade levels at the time. We just threw what number.
Did you say grades in steps?
No, we just did grades as of last year. So when the individual when this position was filled, there was no steps involved with anybody. So he was in, you know, the one in Packard, you were on the interview mm-hmm. committee, and we just came up with a number that we thought we would start somebody else that didn't have experience. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't, we didn't. And so that was where we got started right off the bat, is because we didn't have a step program in place. And again, it was inexperience in this particular spot. And now it's 2 years later. And he does a lot of work for the town of Catskill. I'll tell you that.
All of our employers do a lot of work. When you make a comment like that, you're basically saying the rest of our employees don't.
No, I'm not
that.
Saying that. All of our employees do a lot of work for the town of Catskill. They do, but I can tell you this, if you did an efficiency study and you follow people around on a clipboard, his day is full. Like, and I'm getting back to what Dawn's saying, when it's saturated and one person can't do any more, that's when you hire somebody else. And I, you know what I mean, and I think that job could be close to being in that area.
Sure.
So classified. So it's not that everybody does a good job here, but is it a full day? You know, is there a full workload for 8 hours in every department? And I don't know if that's true, but I can tell you in his department, I feel it is true. And if there's not, then it's shame on us because we know there's more that department can use.
Okay.
True. You don't think there's more work out there? If we're not having that individual or that department perform, that's shame on us. We should
absolutely
be having performance reviews, things of that nature. Or reports from committees every other month or once a month. We don't seem to do great in that area. So that's, to me, I think that job with somebody that has experience, and that would go to any job. I think that job is where, you know, I think it should be equal to where it was. If you're going to hire a brand new person that's inexperienced, and that goes for probably any of our job titles, that you might want to start that individual a little bit lower, and then as the experience level comes up, because there's not a big vast thing in our stats that, you know, I think that's a different situation, and I think that's what we did when we made that hire. We didn't start him out as a seasoned person. I mean, it's you know, your salary is commensurate to what your experience level is. So I would take the stance. We pay an HR person. She doesn't advise me to have a pay or us to have us to pay people, but her study reflects that job should be in that title. And if I'm so,
and I agree because we talked about it last year.
If I'm going to hire a professional, regardless of what other people think or feel, I'm going with what my HR professional tells me to do, or you know, her this study. If some other town spent thousands of dollars for it.
So, like, I know state DOT has grade levels.
Right.
Is that what we're, like, that kind of, would you say grade? Like a grade 8 is a different category than a grade 7, which is a different
Correct.
Category than a grade
Correct.
6.
Right. So it's Right. So, in Ronnie Favre's study, a building inspector actually, in her study of 15 towns, some in the Capital District, not Greene County, but the pay rate for a building inspector was a few thousand dollars higher than an assessor. Regardless of great, the dollar amount that she came up with in comparison, and the same thing in the study that holds true with a regular clerk versus a court clerk. The court clerks in her study, so we're okay with that too. They make more money, so because there's a different level of responsibility, and we can talk about others, but.
I was just asking, did she do a study on everybody's position or just code? That in depth of a.
Well, I think I can pull this. I can pull one from another town.
No, I'm just asking if she. Was,
she did. She did. Okay. She, no, not for us. She didn't do. She.
She,
like,
did.
She
was.
She was. She. No. Right. No. No. If you, I'll pull it for you. I think it's in the town of Milton, and it was on their webpage, and they actually posted the whole thing up. And it's in their budget, and they spent a lot of money.
No, same what she sent us.
Those
in code.
Right, and because I just asked her what was permanent to us. That's correct.
Well, that was all, and that's how we came
in. And our clerk paid. What was interesting, we're in Greene County, New York. Our clerk's pay was very comparable to what they're paying in her study, meaning, towns that had more resources and more population than Catskill, our clerk pay was slightly higher. Having said that, our department heads, meaning the assessor and building inspector, were lower. So it says, so historically it looks like our clerks are compensated very well, or a fair compared to other ones. And actually, these two positions, assessor and building inspector, they're making less than what. Her study.
Did her study include other towns in Greene County?
No, because she did the study specifically for a county in Saratoga County that has more resources, so she did comparable towns like New Paltz, East Greene Bush, Town of Ulster, which Clayton's here. I mean, if you look at theirs, I mean, we got right here. I mean, they were super easy when he was talking about 57,000. They did the bus trips.
I believe in it, but I'm glad we're having this conversation because this is what being born is about. It's also about having different opinions and vote in different directions, and then once the vote's over, we move on to that time.
So it's about what that position is worth.
Right. So do we have something that shows us grades?
We have
steps. Grades are on the left column, and then the steps go up.
Oh, okay, I understand.
Having said that, I'm not going to rework that today or tomorrow, but between the steps are very weak. I mean, we're like 17 cents or things like that.
Agreed.
Right. Yeah. That I get too.
That's another point.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And then we got something. We got a little work to do. So that's my position on it. And, we're not talking about pay for performance or any individual's performance, but. That's what that job is.
Okay. I'm sorry, guys, but I'm trying to wrap my head around this. So this is the third year for our code enforcement officer. Our assessor has many more years, correct?
Correct.
That's what she says.
She's at the top.
She's in the max.
And again, we had to start somewhere because we never had a pay structure. I think we got to take a look back and say, 2 years ago, everybody here made the same money, regardless if they walked in the door on day one, or if it was 10
She's
years.
Not at the max. She's one.
Well,
she's
we're,
one
bringing
step
her to, we're bringing her to the max this year, correct?
But that hasn't been discussed yet, so.
Because I'm a part-time thing. That's what's in the budget. We did talk about in the budget. And the same thing we did with Ken, and she's at the top of that pay. For this year.
So does the, in our tentative budget, the 2024 tentative salary, that is grade 8 step?
61,422, I think that's at the low step, Kirsten, in there?
Yeah, that's at the 10.6%.
Or it's really at step one, and that is going to be 2932, correct?
This 61,422 is at 2952.53.
Because Kirsten set that out because of the anniversary. And I'm not really that hung up on that part of it either. I would just say 2932 and recall to the debt. I mean, I don't think we've got to talk steps here. Right, so it would be 60,986 if we held the step consistent. 986. So what the hell is that? That's only, we're talking about $425. If you wanted to go step one, and because he's moving up and freeze it at that step. I mean, we quite haven't done that with others, but I don't think that's an unacceptable approach.
$425, we can use about a warranty.
So his salary for code year one this year would be 60,986.
Following the chart, it would have been 54,372 plus times 2.5%. Mm-hmm. 56,275 plus the step.
Historically, do people move from a grade level? Like at state DOT, you move a grade after you pass so many tests, and
we're new to steps, so normally it's a promotion, and you're doing a different type of job. If everybody was even, which nobody starts out of the blocks anywhere at the same time, but if we were going to hire today, and Matt had 2 years' experience, you know, per our HR person, if you felt he had enough experience to do that position, I would feel you would put him in the level that would the same as the assessor, whatever grade level. And again, historically in the town of Catskill, their pay was the same.
Right. So I guess.
So I don't understand what the resistance is if we paid an assessor the same as the building inspector for years.
Resistance for me is she's been here 11 years and he's 3. And they're being put in at the same step virtually.
They shouldn't be at the same step.
But the same grade. It's the same grade. It's the grade. The grade is what the responsibility of the job is. The steps belong with how long you've been here. Again, is the system perfect? No, because we haven't been in the step system in a couple of years. It's going to work fine. It's just that we didn't start that way. So we're trying to initiate a new program, which we did last year, and it seems like there's a lot of reason, I guess if we're putting everybody back, everybody makes the same, and we don't worry about it.
No, but if you look at the chart, and we move them to a grade 8, then we put it back at step 1, he's not making the same, he's making less.
No, because he'd be a... If he was still in a grade 7, mm-hmm. this year he'd be at 2668 plus the 3.5%.
Right, but I'm comparing him to the assessor.
If you put him to the assessor,
maybe she's at step 10.
2932 versus...
Exactly.
2932, but the top pay in the other driver would be... I don't know what your question actually is, to be honest with you right now, but... Right, so it's one of the top pay...
Be making the same, which I see over here. In step 10, yeah, but he's not step 10.
In step 1. He's going to make 20, it's in green if I'm not mistaken.
Right, yeah.
29.32. It was slightly higher because we kind of agreed, we did agree like halfway when they hit their anniversary that they would move up last year. But I mean, again, I don't really argue that point at all, but I mean, you could say that at the individuals, because that's what happened with everybody else at their university, they moved up a step.
So it's basically getting a $3.30 increase per hour.
I don't know what he's making at the moment.
Right? And that's because he's moving up a grade. He's losing his steps. He's starting out at the beginning again.
Correct. And normally when we promoted people, including myself, is what you did, it depending on what your raise, you made always about a certain percentage, and you know, you didn't go to the bottom, but if you're already making more than the lower step, you got slotted in. In this case, he's making more of the lower step, so he's not getting slotted in this particular case. I think it really comes down to, are we moving that position up to the same level as an assessor? I mean, what's the value of the position for?
Well, if the assessor can do that job part time, I would say that the value is much different. Correct?
No, because her clerk is going to do bulk of the work.
No. So that means a sponge. So you're saying there was two and a half sponges, right? Correct?
Two and a half.
Right. So in other words, we're saturated. Can't do any more work. So you're saying you have 2.5 sponges and you can't bring in, they're full, they can't take any more work. So what you're saying, if Carol can take on more work and do it now with the same amount of help.
We don't know.
So
the only reason what you're saying is for rebound.
No, she's not. She's there because she's experienced, and I think we need more than one person in the audience.
Okay, so we can't talk person.
Right. No, I mean, we're talking about workload, not people. I mean, in the end, my opinion, I think that office needs two people. And so that could be John Gadigliassi's half-time. And, you know, so you had, if you need two people, so you have an assessor and a full-time clerk, and maybe not John, and one of those went out and did field work, then you would save that 20 hours of John, then I think you might start to get, you know, better staffed and closer to be staffing correctly. But now we're using 20-40, we're using 100 hours a week in that office. And now we're proposing to go down and use 80, 20 with John, 20 with Carol. And so we're losing 20 hours a week in that office. And the work's still going to get done. So what does that tell you?
If you were to do what they have to do in the
center. So if you were paying the check out of Lacey Ford and somebody was in a cubicle and they didn't sell too many cars and they stayed in the cubicle, how long would they stay?
Right.
And that's the same.
But I mean, if we're gonna use Ronnie's justification to change his grade to 10,
yeah.
I would like to see the same thing for George.
I don't know. George is already off. He's on a different chart.
Oh no, he's a grade 10, but in my opinion, like in your opinion,
I'm not saying he's anybody's underpaid. I'm saying that's what the study. If you want to start doing analysis of what ambulance coordinators make,
do we go higher than a grade 10?
You can create anything we want.
Yeah, you can
we can make it grade 11. But I'm just saying, if that's the case, or comes back to your other scenario, or Dawn's scenario, if it's already overworked, we're doing a shift supervisors to help alleviate that load. So that, because if he's already saturated, it's not about needing more money. It's about maybe more money ahead. And potentially pay as well. But again, we're not on that topic. But if that's something you want to look at.
I would just like to see
check that. Check with Green EMS, check in Greenville, and find out what everybody's making. It's easy enough to do. Okay. Are we good with moving it? Dawn, what's your thoughts? I'm making the assessors. It, it, not even about the assessors, bringing the...
I think moving the code enforcement officer to a grade 8, which is where I get, I'm hearing it always was before now.
That's correct. Well, right. They were the same pay, so that's correct.
So, and then going back to step one, I think that should be fine then, if that's what the study shows us.
Are you good with that, Paul?
Yeah.
All right, so that's where we're at.
Who's opposed to it?
Okay. Did Jared oppose?
I'm opposed, but we move on. That's how the board works. 3-2, we go.
Okay. Building inspector, the other one would be not here. That's
self-explanatory.
That's probably, and then we got the next one up, which I think we're funding that up. That's the one we got to post on.
It is posted.
It is, okay, and we got to actively do up.
Fire inspector is posted.
Okay, we're at the DSI.
Now,
go ahead.
Do they do the short-term rental inspections too?
Yes.
So he does both. Break a chain, yes, over the fire.
Yeah. I mean, Matt has a couple of fielders out there, or you know, somebody else. Hopefully, we'll see how that flies. But I mean, getting somebody here is it's good just because we can use some help on property maintenance, and it brings revenue in, and it cleans up our community. Administrative aid, that's straightforward. I think that's at our 3.5. Which 3.5 is a bad year for Greg Cole, went up 3.2, I guess, whatever he was telling
us. Well, 3.5 and then the stat.
Yeah, 3.6.
Right, so I'm saying, we went on the CPI last year at 8.7, so actually we went higher than the CPI last year, which is a good thing. Okay, over time, I think everyone that takes care of itself. Software, same thing, we're just, when I guess he's ready to buy it, we got the money to do it. Then we just keep floating that in there. One thing, I mean, not that we need enough and we still have money available is, if we do get another person, I think maybe another vehicle, something to look at in the future there. Even if we buy something, if the county or another municipality has a...
That is 20-year-old.
He loves to look at that. I'm just saying for this, if we're going to have another
for the second,
we're going to have a PSI electronics here, you've got to have, a government car versus a lot.
Oh, and make it more official, too.
We put stickers on it, and go to the shop or house here. Yeah, they're right. What's that going to do? So, I mean, if we can get another vehicle, I think that's a positive. Just for something to think about. Okay. Anything else on this line that stands out to anybody? You're going to get anything to... Good?
You have left the train? We were at 7-7 with your junior.
Is he the only one that goes to training, or the other?
No, Fred goes. They all go.
Yeah, they don't have to have their annual. But they can get a lot
they
of
money. They go down to Kingston. They go down to Kingston.
Or the county classes that they're offering are free.
Yeah, there's one coming up or something, right?
Yeah, they have this much.
Education training is 7-7. Yeah. That's a budget of 1,000. Are we going to go over that, or?
Let's move that up from 1,000 to maybe 1,200.
Especially if you hire the first person with training.
Right.
What do you want it at?
1,200, another $200, please. Return and all that takes care of itself. mean, we, that's the same as we had in the past year. I mean, we could go 75 a meeting from 50.
Either that or the, I mean, the time, I don't know who would request the time that it takes for this and the aggravation for $50. They're definitely not doing it for the money.
No, and even if we gave 75, they're not doing it for the money or 100. I would like, I think
$25 was a little bit of appreciation.
And I could say this is a little bit with the town attorney. Deals with the planning boards significantly and zoning to a degree. The chair we have now, I think even the chairs before that put a lot of work in. I mean, I think the chair should be compensated a little bit more. I mean, I'm not afraid to give the chair $100 per meeting, and maybe the members go to 75, something of that nature. And it was
all around where they do 12 meetings a year.
12
a year.
Well, the planning is doing 12, and they might do a couple of site visits. So, I mean, I'm okay with that. I think that's a great.
So, if they do a site visit, they pay the same as
a meeting? I don't know what the site
visit is. Yeah, it's the same. That's the same for training.
Right, so, let's do 75 per.
What line is that on?
Let's see. We're talking planning right now, so that's planning.
Where do planning board members fall, Tricia?
Other professional services.
Other professional services? Okay.
Is it 5,000?
Mm-hmm. It's 5 for zoning and 15
for 15,000.
That's what I said.
And we actually spent, other professional, we spent 20,000.
I think that's because you had Delaware helping a lot and it was in that line.
Okay. So how much are we talking? We're only talking about, the regular line, one less than carry it because we're
thinking about that. It'll break even.
I think we're going to $5 up because
we cut a meeting too.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So we should have.
You're actually going to still have a surplus.
Yeah, so this is that a fair statement? I think it is. Because Teresa's, she's just compensating the other guy, and the other ones wouldn't compensate. So I think we leave the budget alone. I think we should raise her pay to $75 per meeting and $100 for the chair. Zoning now, because they only meet once, that might have to change a bit on zoning because we're not picking up any additional. So they're 25 times 12. So their expense for the regular members is going up 300, and then if the other one that's going to be 12.
They don't meet every month.
Once a month.
No, they don't. Well, they only meet as needed.
Yeah. That's the word. That's the but we're.
Maybe we can budget for.
Right. Yeah, I would budget for the most.
Well, 20 will be 25 times 5. It's 125 times that by 12. The members, that's 1,500. Because we have 5 members here. So we should raise that up. 1,500 should be. That's $25 more. And then we do another, we didn't have any of that Harvey in there. He's going to do another 25 times 12. About $1,800 for zoning.
So $6,800.
Let's move zoning up by $1,800. Please.
And I'm sorry, can you say again, it's going to be 100 per chair and then 75 per zoning member? Okay.
Is everybody looks good with that? I think it's an appreciation. That's it.
No, it's 100 per plan, not zoning.
No, yeah, but we're talking zoning now, too, though. We don't want to raise zoning. We did plan.
Well, 75, but you're only, he was at 50, you're only going to 75, but.
No, for zoning, 50 to 75, and then the chair goes to 100.
Right, for both boards.
I misunderstood.
Right. Okay, so all board members will get $75, and then the chair can get 100. Because that's what we're kind of at. Yeah. You know, they're paid similar for buries. It's the same, actually. So that way,
So zoning other goes to 6,800, and then the rest should be alone, right?
Yes.
Well, the plan should, the plan says it was a specific proper means. Okay, we'll go to that page on 42.
We got to find a bump for us.
Somebody had it on advertising. It was pretty good dessert. And it wasn't, the pay wasn't bad. I forget what town had it, but it wasn't a screenshot of the city. But it was like a laundry list of responsibilities. Like that long. That long, it was like maybe a couple $1,000. It paid more than us, but okay, we go on page 44.
You're not going to look at revenue for B, you're not changing anything for revenue for B fund or leaving that on
EV.
Page 44.
If I said you skip 44.
Do we know what our year date is in that fund, Rachel?
Yeah, I just passed out a new one tonight, so it should be in front of you, the year to date for B. And on the back of that, attached to the back of that should be a revenue coming to it. And I broke out short-term rental from regular code stuff.
So it's up 12 grand right here.
But that's a lot of that is, was that separate?
It's up 12 overall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's been bringing in the short-term rental.
28,000 on that, huh?
We're not going to bring that.
And that's
not 28,000.
Through September.
That was
so that's 56.
Out of pound.
Jeez. Those numbers are skewed.
That morning gets you that list?
I do. I worked it myself, and I got those. But then even that list, you got Murphy's
got
law. You got Murphy's law in there. That's got six. So it's what they say you have is real numbers. You got the Woodbine or one of those places that have multiple units within them. So it's not accurate. Is there more out there? Absolutely.
But there's more than 56.
And the bills are almost 68.
Yeah.
Right, but we're not doing this.
No, I'm just saying, yeah. But in the village alone, there's
like 80
bucks
in the
town.
I sat there this winter when I drew up a lot of them, maybe.
Is that the longitude latitude ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them were in Athens and Carroll.
Yeah, they're in Athens. Yeah, it's
and how many did you come up with?
Probably 56.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if you try
to stop, I mean, there's only so many hours of the
season. No, I thought you went through the whole list.
I hit, because then you got to go on the web pages, then you try to verify. So what I went on Zillow, I'm saying, okay, or whatever, on these sites, I said, I think I got one, and then I matched it from where I thought I had it, and then I actually documented that they had it, did the screenshot, and actually sent them to Savannah to document.
I guess my point is, do we hire somebody to do this so we know exactly where they are? Because at the end of the day, it's going to pay for it.
Well, ideally, our PSI. Ideally, our fire inspector would vote because he's got to go to a lot of these places for fire inspections.
I mean, you got to identify it.
Yeah, but
we looked at the software. It gets expensive.
No, not software. There's a company that you
can
hire. I'll tell you exactly.
I did three webinars with them with three different companies, but it gets expensive. And I think I don't know what the village paid over there, but it's still expensive. And I don't know if theirs is foolproof. I mean, I was kind of banking on the state.
This is annual, right? Every year that this?
Yeah, it's 500 the first day out. And then I think it's 200 or 250.
So we can cut this number in half and expect that as income next year.
Yes, it helps because some people are deciding not to do them.
And
really what happened, we had Troy here this year, and he was out, he had the boots on the ground, and he got all of our fire inspections taken care of.
Right, so I'm just looking at the 28 fire SDR.
Are we looking at vacation rentals by owner also?
Is that considered?
Yeah, that's short term.
But I mean, is that part of the list for longitude, latitude, or whatever?
They're all inclusive. But
tough, like you said, the state was supposed to come out with
it. It's a tough task either with these companies, because then they start charging you four Murphy's Law that has six, and You know, they're a little elusive by how they start doing it. I mean, we could, again, it's all what's going to be our priorities. And who's going to do it?
Yeah, what do you spend to make?
Yeah, that was all mine.
I mean, I just wanted to.
You know, if you pick up another 50, that's another 28 grand, right?
That was my thought when I was in my recliner on a Sunday watching football. I was looking them up, especially when we gave out union contracts before we had the VIP account and we needed money. So I was, I got the emails. And that's how they got them. And are they researching more up there? I don't know.
On this B fund budget, so building permits is getting that SDR in. That's that 100,000 includes the SDR one?
Yeah, the 112 is the breakup.
Everything goes in the B2555.
The STR is separate from the 255. Yeah,
okay, that's
and then that total of 112 is both of them.
Okay. So ideally, we could go to 105 on that line and still be safe.
We
can
make that 105.
That means just without STRs and 22, we could 108.
I think building permits are going to come down with the mortgage rates.
Really, you think so?
I do.
And the driving around that we've been doing, all these new houses that are going up, and the pensions, and...
I mean, that was before, though. I think it is going to go down. I think mortgage taxes are going down, too. I mean, there's less...
No, they raised the rate on it.
The county did?
Yeah.
But there's going to be less applicants for mortgage, yeah, I think. I mean, this is where I'm at with this.
It's not money.
But the truth of the matter is here, so we put in fund balance, so we would bring this up. We'll get to that at the end, but we got more than enough fund balance to a fund line.
Yeah, but you're only talking about going up by,
So
the bonus,
So we can just wait for it to come in, and I think I'm okay with keeping the revenues. Unless, we can just put a fine, but that's not going to move our number. And so anyway, next one up, we got the DA account. That's that just flows back and forth with the fund balance, correct, Pearson?
Yes.
This is highly.
So we're not in bad shape, I don't think, financially with the thing. So I mean, you might like this, Jared, you might not. But I think with our fund balance, because now that we're kind of getting a little through with that, and I think our fund balance is good. If we wanted, not that we're retracting, but I think financially we can handle it in fund balance. If we wanted to purchase that truck this year that Sean wanted, I think we can do that with our fund balance availability. And I'm because he's got the other ones that he wants to replace down the road. I mean, we're going to have to apply more on the fund balance side of that, but.
No. I mean, he was at 110. If we get 20 or 25 for the truck that's going to replace, that brings it down to, say, 80.
We're not retracting anything you said. It's just that now I think we're clear with where we are, and that's the difference. We're not in a lot of difficulty here. I think what we got to realize as a group, though, is even though if we hit the tax cap, which we can, is that when the tax bills still come out, we're still going to be, but otherwise we have to go way ahead.
It's going to look like it goes up anyway.
We're still,
we got to be clear on the dollar amount. Well, it's going to show 4%, but it's really only $11, whatever.
I'm going to rework that, though. It's a little bit more, but not really.
But
I'm
using figurative numbers.
Right, okay.
I'm not anything.
The message,
actually. Do you want to do that, Patrick? If we can swing that truck over there? We got the fund balance available to do it, and some.
What do you say? It's about 6 months out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Depending.
The same 12 to Sean. It's 110.
So it's all three.
Are
on strike.
Yeah. Because he's telling me he's got the other two. That he wants. He's got a couple more of these things.
Yeah, to be done.
Right.
So we're going to do it. We should just make that a plan.
Is that abortion of the truck?
I know. But what's your replace? What's you want to replace it with?
A 5500.
A 5500.
Yeah. Yeah, because that truck does cement and it does MBUF. It may do
water.
Yeah, so it does Jefferson Heights.
So if it's at 60, we would bring it back to 110. Add 20,000 to the revenue line for Stormfield, you can get 20,000.
Does he need 110 though? That's basically what it breaks out to.
But that's with the lights, that's with the plow, and that's with the sander on it. And he said if they were short money, which I don't, if they were, that he would put the back on it himself, the body, that they would jack and mount that thing on the chassis. Meaning the dump.
The dump?
No.
That's what he told me.
We better just get rid of the TNT.
That's what
have a compression install, because that's the warranty and all that stuff. And
just that's what they relayed to
me. Well, the price of the body is $15. That's installed.
I mean, I think, you know,
that's insane.
Yeah.
And I think where we got another, how we got there with the fund balance, he still has open positions. It's not like we mismanaged the budget. It's just every time we get a body that we don't have there, that's like a $90,000 swing.
Right.
And he's been short held. We gave him, we had another $35,000 in revenue that we had, you know, that belonged to Sean so far this year in the interest. So that's, you know, that's how we're, you know, getting there with the money in that account.
So we're going from
60
up to
80. We're going to go 60 to 110, and then we took off 7.
Hold on a minute, though.
Okay.
What's the actual cost of the truck this month? Did he give an actual number?
Right.
We didn't give him the authority about the bid. He has a tag.
No, but
yeah.
We don't know.
Right.
Are you going to ask him? Or no?
We got a budget of one that we don't. Well, good
point.
Worst case scenario is it's 110. If it should come in at about 102.
Right. If it's 102 or 100, that's when the conversation should be made today with Sean. Is if it's 102, you got 8,000, we're not spending it on another piece of equipment. Then you roll that. That back into a reserve.
Right, but what if it comes back at 125?
He's saying you can get it done.
He's done.
Yeah, we just make it clear to him that he can't spend any more than 110,000 on this. If it's less than 110,000, whatever's left goes back into the reserve.
He's done the legwork.
Do you want me to call on it?
He's done the legwork to figure out how much it should cost.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to underfund it, because then that's a waste of. You know what I mean?
Well,
he's also expecting like 20,000 from selling the old one, so that then you've got that money towards it too.
Yeah.
I thought you said that was good.
$110 minus. I said it never went to the fund balance for 30,000 to get them there. So that way we're not raising the budget.
You're dead.
I know.
Isn't that the case?
No. You probably don't want to answer this stuff. It's getting late.
You're dead.
Is he?
I've been forwarded.
Yeah, he's like, hey,
I know he's gotten quotes. He's gotten an idea from a 5,500 or a 550.
He feels he can get it done for that kind of. You don't think so?
I don't know. Today's day and age on these things, it's like a yo-yo.
Well, the chassis 76. The body's 15. So that puts you at 96. And then the salter and the plow is going to bring you 110.
Did you think about anything
for a salter?
That's
not.
We have handouts for fund balances.
You're making that scenario. You're probably looking at 13 grand just for the
Well, no, you got the quotes for
no.
The same.
I mean, I emailed that before, but I thought you were going with
I just got it.
Whenever my torch was
on. So it was just for a heat pile for a 2,500, and it was 8 grand. There's no way he's getting for a 5,500 a 12 foot plow.
I think he gets 10 and a half, but regardless, it's around 10 grand. Because we get the municipal discount.
The switch would diminish.
Yeah. But I mean, because if we put 110 in there, we have enough, because if he gets 20 from the truck, that brings it back down.
Hopefully that comes through. See, that's the machine on. Here's one sheet. And I think we had that conversation about it. The 6 month, no, we're going in, but I think the 4 month, we're good.
I think 4 months makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, we look at a little bit of fund balances on policy later. Some have it between 15 and 35%, but then they have the ones that have it less have a lot of reserve accounts. And, you know, that our reserves are not used at the moment.
No, she's
but I mean, we're starting, like, they, you know, we're starting to build up reserve, which is a good thing.
Fred, are we kicking back that reserve from the other one back into the...
What's that? Which one?
The 26,000 from Central Garage?
22,000?
The tax cut, that was allocated for something that we want to...
But that was for the truck we must have paid. The tax cut $22,000 in Central Garage. You got, do we have that? Still not bad to keep the Central and Garage a little bit in there because I mean if the lift goes, that was expensive down there before, which we got okay. Or if the truck goes, I mean, so it's not a bad thing. Cemetery ambulance, that's where they're in the general at least we gotta keep that $30,000 minimum away. And that's where I think if you find yourself having a lot of fund balance, throw a little bit down in that reserve instead of, you know. If we're concerned about carrying, is that we're going to need ambulances. Okay. Yes, no on this truck?
I say yes.
I think we should too.
And we should plan on another truck for next year.
Hold on.
You got to bring the revenues down. I think how that works.
We really need a year of bread right. Here with the
and then for the following year, we should have to have a
I'm all for it. Yeah, rotation,
but, yeah. And I think you just got to see where you end next year. I mean, if you have a mild winter, we're not using a lot of salt and sand.
That'd be a different conversation.
Because then we're bringing that money back home, and we want to. Then we should apply some of that to keep taxes down. And the other side is that, you know, unfortunately, we don't have people over there. Ideally, we might not. If we had a full staff, we wouldn't be able to do it. Like I told you, the only way we could do it is because you didn't have employees over there that they gave us the money to be able to swing it. If everything's good, you have a full staff, then it becomes a little different, for sure. Because that is all tax revenue over there, so it's no, you know, it's no revenue surprises. All right. Would you put those in, Pearson, the ones that you kind of recommended?
As opposed to 110,000, you want revenue for 20,000 from
20,000, yeah. And then we're going to increase
fund balance
by 30,000 to offset it. So it's a neutral for the budget. All right. So other than that, we're done with highway, correct? What are we missing? So we have projected somewhere we've got to deal with it.
We need to look at assessors. Her number of increasing from 35 to 40. She suggested 36.9.
Let's see what we are.
Yeah, she sent us a little bit.
She's at a day account, right? Assessor.
No,
she's at 22.
Next year she's requesting 46.9.
Yeah, that's first I think she said 35 would cover the whole year, but then when I sat down with her and we broke it out, she meant 35 to be the part-time portion of her year. So you have to factor in the actual January and her buyout.
So we're at 1040 at 40,400, and then we got a buyout of 65. $500, $65,000. I mean, so where would we normally put buyouts, Pearson? Would that go on the line, or have we got a personnel line somewhere?
No, it would come out of her line if you budgeted it in. Just change your 35,000 to 46.
Didn't your recent email talk about addressing some sooner retired in the budget?
Like
somewhere we should set up
a reserve for an extra 13K somewhere, or...
Because Woods Jackson retires on...
Yeah, that would be 13 about, so...
Yeah. So that's over 20 grand between him and Roger right there.
I mean, hers is a for sure thing, so I would, you know, say you could put that 46 in her line. The other one, I don't know how for sure it is, so if you want to reflect an additional 13 in that line, or, you know, raise contingency in case it happens.
Well, you know, so I have a, we call it a termination line in my way for these things.
For a relief, that's a good
point. Right. And I know it's scary, because we pay out 100%. I'm carrying 40, 50 grand a year. And I'm not saying we need to, but you can do it all just for that. For,
right.
Or at the end of this year, if you guys don't spend the 30 out of your contingency line, which would be open
to a
retirement severance account,
right.
And we start paying out of that. But that's an easy 30 to start it off.
That would probably last for a while.
Yeah, and then you can only, you only have to change your line.
That's what I was thinking, instead of putting that 6,500, use it as, if we can carry that contingency, we should still put 40,400, because that's actually what we use.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the buyout, we can put, you can pull that out of the contingency that we can use, right?
Yeah.
That's, I think, that's what I mean.
So 4,400.
Right, for that would be actual wages. And then we'll pull the 64. And I think that's a good thought. Maybe we should say put 10,000 away or whatever we want out of that contingency, because in the event Jack goes,
right.
And we got other employees.
Because there's still money in that contingency to cover if we have to have 3 months of another mechanic.
Okay. Right. That for this year.
Which could actually do it.
And we can reserve. We can reserve this year. Just want to
know. Three of us.
Right.
Yeah.
That's generation.
And I think we should a little reserve for that,
right.
Because we, you know, everybody's going to get a little of something
in
time. So, you know, if we can carry even 15,000
right.
or something like that in that reserve,
right.
It's,
and if you don't
we're
use
building it,
it, if you don't use it,
carry it only to the next year.
Yeah,
no, then just stay in that reserve.
Right.
It's done. Yeah.
Because at some point there's
okay. What do we got next year?
That's all I had, other than
the revenues. We're all done with everything was good, right?
Yeah, I think we.
So really, what we got to talk about is fund balance.
We did 2% for the Catskill fire.
We brought that to break. Is that what we brought back? Because
whatever,
they were, whatever they were before.
Yeah,
yeah.
We did 2.
We still
changed.
We're still. Because I did a little work on open book, but I didn't fix anything that I thought was going to help us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With that, would it be possible while we keep do the rest of the if we, you think we're done with the budget side of the Kirsten?
Yeah, like I feel like the other pages are pretty self-explanatory.
All right. I mean, could we do a scenario, or is that too much to do? To, you know what I mean?
You want me to run up?
If we can run it, see where we are with the tax cap,
like
and then I think we can make a determination on our final fund balances,
okay.
And maybe give us a number of what it would take. An additional fund balance to get it to zero.
Out of which fund? A fund? Oh, out of which fund?
Or we could do it, or we could do a little combination. B wouldn't hurt either, right?
2/3.
You could take a little out of it, because B's pretty healthy.
Okay.
So maybe throw another 10 or 20 out of the B account.
Okay.
That's exactly right. That was our plan. Discussion. This was an 11th hour. If we want to have this Yeah, so whereas we talked about it not to exceed 29 hours per week, and we had that conversation today, regardless of the snow, you know, we're going to move it around to 29. Therefore, we, the town board, hereby approves the change of employment status of Patrick Darling from full-time to part-time labor, not to exceed 29 hours per week at a rate of $21 an hour, effective November 6, 2023.
Motion.
Motion by Jerry.
Second.
Second by Duan Scandipico. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. No, okay. What do we got here? Okay, so the adoption of the county. I'm drawing for some reason. The coffee is.
Over in
the coffee. So I do what I got here. Anyway, adoption of the county hazardous resilience plan. We had a lot of topics on that, so we need a motion to accept the county hazardous resilience plan.
Motion
by Patrick, seconded by Paul. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried.
Good for another 5 years.
Do you want to work in it?
It is a lot of work. You worked on it.
So we'll get that with that. I'm going to just go back to that. But change in employment status. And I did like to comment, you know, the 11th hour stuff. I think a few more days so people can evaluate what we're doing here instead of, you know, everybody getting stressed. I mean, I'm guilty that we'll get busy, but
they weren't included.
Then they were. So Patrick had made a nice comment, is can we get these requests in a few days earlier before it gives Liz a little more time to do a resolution. And, you know, as a board, somebody had a little conversation, it gives us just a little more time to evaluate. So I do appreciate the comment. So anyway, next we got, where is the ambulance administrator wishes to change the employment status for Andrew Zirico from part-time EMT to full-time EMT, and whereas this position would fill a vacancy created by a resignation, so therefore the Catskill Town Board hereby approves the change in employment status from Andrew Zirico from part-time to full-time EMT, and that's going to be effective on November 5, 2023 at the current rate as outlined in the contract. Need a motion.
Motion
by Patrick, seconded by Dawn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried.
Bonus on this, and part of that conversation, I actually know she still has a full-time job outside of Catskill. He's picking up a 36-hour open shift on a weekend. So this will massively help us on the weekend.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that because I asked somebody else today. I said, when are they picking it up? And he thought, but you know, but confirming the weekends is a big thing. I mean, you know, just hiring people and not filling the slots that we need is not counterproductive, but not maximizing. Okay, so we talked about that. The other one was, I can't remember, did we talk about that compensation for the game farm? You know,
No.
The game farm bridge? Right, so we just want
to... Oh, the easement.
The easement, yeah. I just need a... Yeah, we just need to approve this from the
CPS.
GPI, Kimberly Dempsey, to the offers. To
motion to accept the compensation package for the game farm road right away.
Thank you. And seconded by Paul Osberg. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion so carried. Like I said, eventually go forward and hopefully that they.
It seems.
That is fair.
Yeah, well, that's the longest part of this is the right away. So. Yeah,
I thought for some reason, I thought we had it. Let me see what anybody else have anything you want to add to the meeting right now? We're waiting for Kirsten. Liz, go ahead.
Do you want to pass the resolution for the web jogger quote for the 2678?
I'm with the server. For sure. And what? We got it. I think that's an opportunity thing. I really do for the server.
The server.
The server, and we would want to apply our ARPA funds.
ARPA funds? Okay.
I think we should do the email. That's my opinion.
I'm going to tell you that I think we should do the email thing once we get the list, and I also think we should buy 5 PCs and get everything in because Sam, get these guys because I don't want to, you know.
Complete set, so the monitor,
the whole thing,
the
rack,
and the stand.
I got the plugs. We want the PCs, the scan.
The 27-inch.
For those 5 computers?
Yes, right. 5 computers with the 27-inch monitor stand and whatever.
And the email security program. Motion.
Wait, I thought you wanted to wait on the email until you receive.
We'll just trim.
So you want to pass all of the quotes?
Yes.
Okay.
Trimming down of the.
Okay.
Any clarification of all the town email addresses?
So the first 2 pages are where we stand right now.
Second. Sorry. So I mean, I just really, I'm wanted to see how much money we are here to dig in or our I guess with the other stuff, meaning these five PCs, do we want to take them out of our normal budget or do we
have 7,500?
Yeah. Okay. If you got at least spend up to what we have it, and then if we use it, we'll do the other. Okay. So that's whatever IT money we have left, we'll buy the five PCs with it. If we run out, then we'll throw the balance into the ARPA.
Okay, and then you definitely want to do the email also, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. You know what? There's so much.
I think it ought to be the town email.
I mean, you know what I mean? If
it's
just and this thing we're doing.
We've gotten
here a couple of years ago. I mean, I don't know if that.
You quoted the one we got here, but Kirsten quoted because she got one about changing someone's ACH once.
Yeah, I get them
randomly.
They know I use a bad name. I mean,
it is.
And then I started getting all these alerts about my credit cards. I had to go do a lock on my credit report and all my credit card account numbers.
That's the cool thing about having.
All right.
Do you want a resolution for the? Do you want a resolution for the planning and zoning board's stipend to change effective? You want to wait?
We can do the resolution on that, but that's going to be effective.
2024.
So we need a motion to approve. Motion by Jared. Okay. Seconded by who?
John.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? The motion so carried. Just, all right, we'll go to word by name.
Back to
well, the first two pages with the 29026 is where you landed after the decisions tonight. And then the second one was just a scenario where I took that 29026, I did 9026 out of the A fund appropriated and 20 out of B, because B is, we got a lot of money in B. And so that's second, the fourth page is where you would land if you appropriated it that way. There's a million scenarios, so you can take, you know, do more.
And we're healthy enough in there in B. And
also I think the tentative, the tax levy limit we'll have to decide formally on, so maybe
give us a little cushion.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I'm going to make a motion for the tentative that we stay under the tax cap, and so we have to make a minor adjustment, like if Kirsten's $300 or $400 that
right.
I think we're tuned up pretty good with it, but just in case it's not going to be any big numbers.
So with this second one, we're at actually zero.
That's a zero.
Okay.
That's taking, right, more, you know, 20,000 out of the B fund,
right,
and the 9,026 out of the A fund.
Okay.
And then you can see the second page, but I can do,
reverse
that, I can do whatever.
I think maybe more out of B's fund.
Yeah, he's got healthy balance. So which one, and then in the end, is going to the tax due? Is that 4.23, Kirsten? Is that where we're at when we zero out?
It's the two pages that are
the last two pages are the zeroed out.
So two that were picked for the
8.59. Okay.
So 6.72 in the village, 4.20 out.
4.20 is what is going to be on the out, that's correct. And it's 6.72.
Where does that equate to in dollars? That's the message we got. Because 6.72 looks like it's a big
last year, it was $721.31, and this year it's going to be $751.63. So it's really $30. Somehow we so here it is here. So this is where we are in 23. Right here, so our tax rate was, outside the village, was 7.2131. Mm-hmm. So if you had a $100,000 assessment, your taxes would have been $721.31. And then this year, the same thing, you rolled over, the tax would be $751. And a house that's assessed for the full assessment's like $250,000, but you're really paying on $100,000 because of the 40%.
See, that's why. What would we have to add to get it to what last year's number was?
Well, then,
like a zero increase to the tax rate to zero it out. I'd have to like do something.
Well,
numbers in, and depending on which...
No. Inside and outside is going to be too
fund,
much.
B fund, A fund.
That's not right.
I mean, that's more B, so...
Because then we're going to go under the tax cap. I mean...
And we'll, you know, pull out of our...
Yeah. It's not wise. I mean, I think the other scenario is that you got to look at. I mean, and that's why it's a little more...
Well, the equalization rate throws it out. So if we were to reval, it'd be much more accurate. Because they're not going to see a decrease
well,
in the county.
If you look at the ambulance, I mean, our expenses over there are up $200,000. And we, you know what I mean? And that's a big thing. Last year, in 23, we only went for the 3%.
Right.
So we already paid some of that out. And now it's fully reflecting those raises. And so, you know, it's correct amount of lines. I think you talked about it today, but we're close to losing $1 million or $1.1 million. In that business over there. Right, Christian? It's like $1 million. Oh, it's $1 million. It's a good service, but that's what it really, in the end, it's a $2 million operation and we lose $1 million.
Oh, if it's funded completely by taxpayers, so you can get $2 million.
Right. So, I mean, if you want it, you know, if you want to try to get that down under, you know, if you want, but I don't know if that's a lot. You know, I think staying under the tax cap. I mean, it's an elusive thing. I mean, when we've all been there, you say you stayed under the tax cap, and then they give you the bill.
That's my point.
Right. I mean, you get that over here to zero, we're staying way under the tax cap. I mean, I probably can't recommend doing that. I know I can't recommend doing that because I think you mortgage your
future.
You mortgage your future so much.
Put us in problem.
And if you had exactly. And with the way this economy is and the things that we've done and a lot of it is labor expensive, frankly, and it's okay. Right? I mean, that's just the focus.
It's lower than the inflation rate.
I mean, I'm happy with where we are. I mean, that's my own opinion, but...
If you feel
we need a little cushion, a little more cushion on the tax cap, Pearson, I mean, I'm okay with that. I mean, or you think we're...
That's completely up to you guys. If you want to see that way,
No, I don't want to see it lower, but I want to make a motion that, you know, in the end, we want to...
We can change this after the public hearing, right? Liz, if we have a new tax levy limit number, we can make the changes after the...
You can make changes after the public hearing, but you can't make them
after we adopt this...
As preliminary, correct.
I mean, do you think we should throw a few more dollars down to be sure? Are you comfortable?
I mean, I've made all the changes that I'm going to make, so...
You're happy. So you want to just break it right there, or you want...
I think we put it up.
Okay. I'm happy with that. So, I mean, if you have a $250,000 home, you're in the town of Catskill, you're going to look like $30. Mm-hmm. From 721 to 751.
That's assessed.
No value. Not assess a full value. Your home is $250,000, and your assessed value would be roughly $100. So you're paying that $100,
right?
You know, 100 times that rate. I had mine printed out, but I don't have it right now. I don't know what the hell it is. Maybe it's on the printer. But I use mine as an example. It's just a good deal.
$3,000. $3,000.
Worth $450,000, maybe $2,000. You're worth it. You're on the country club road. You're in the high rent district. All right. Any other further comments on the budget?
No.
You want to make a motion that we adopt it into the tentative as is, or we got any more changes?
We're going to adopt it into the
preliminary and schedule a public hearing.
For a schedule meeting, yes. You're not sure? Okay. You want to play with it? I mean, no. If you want to, this is your time. I mean, if you want to try to smooth that down from a 4.2 to 4.3 to get it to a 3.9, I mean, you want to.
Well, I can go up and run. You know, it doesn't take me long. It takes time. Something and just apply a little more to something.
You want to put another 50? Well, the B, that's not helping the village so much. The B, mm-hmm. That's only helping the town. I mean, if you want to go to 25, 20, I mean, I'm not saying I want to do it, but if you want to stay under, if you if you think pressing that down now off of a four.
I'm okay with it because.
Well, it's not the four that I'm concerned about, it's the 6.72.
Then the only way to change that is to take more out of this, is to take more out of the 8.81. But that's where our biggest expenses are. And let's see, 4 months on the A fund, we should be
1.38.
One balance needed for we is that the one that we want for 1,493,000?
Yeah, well that's based on 2024. I think that's the more accurate way to go, but
right. So
yeah.
We want to retain that.
So is this 6 months then?
No, she has a chart for the
this is Pearson starting to do the 4 month thing or 35%. But I want to see what our balance would be. But how much did we apply so far?
Yeah,
we already applied 239,000, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, 239.
Yeah, so we have 230 so far. You see that? Okay. So
I'm projecting you're going to have.
You're about 2 million.
$2 million.
We don't know that because everything's not in here yet. So. We're going to minus, what do you find? Minus 239.026. So that brings it down to 1.8, so we're not really there. Oh, yes, we are. We got a little room in there if you want to look at it, but you also can put it in the A fund reserve.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, we have A fund has big expenses.
I mean, if you want to look at it, let's just throw another 100 on A and see what it looks like. And that's it, 339. I'm not saying we should do that either.
This is our bad year.
The bad year where we where right. The bad years are now because
right.
We're catching up for the.
I'm right, just saying, like, I think we were all here.
I mean, the savior was a lot of it was the VIP account. And the other side of this is still the same thing. George is having trouble hiring employees. That, you know, that we can't, you know, we've got vacancies over there. And not only vacancies, we're still using overtime, but then we got shifts that aren't filled. Is where we're getting the savings.
We got $200,000.
And we should order that ambulance between what we got, you know, or, you know, you should, because you could apply that. And that's a good question. I don't know if we can just take.
See, back to that, I would rather see us put that money that we gave back to someone into the ambulance.
That's a different fund. That's a different fund.
I know, but it's still real money that we're spending.
Yeah, you know what I mean? We can't do that though.
Right, you're saying not buy the truck and just give it back to the people.
Yeah.
Oh. You know what I mean? Just.
Yeah. No.
He wanted to apply it on the fund balance, but in the end, you still need tangible equipment down there to run the place. Because they're coming, you know, you just don't know where everything's coming back. I don't know if we have to, I'm going to kind of ask towards you that, if we have to, could we just move fund balance ourselves into a reserve account, or do we have to really run it through a budget and then bring it?
I think through this class yesterday.
No,
I'll go through my handbook.
Yeah, I think we could just move it from fund balance to reserve, but I'd have to take a peek at that.
Yeah.
You know, we're just
make an allocated line.
Right.
Yeah, that could be good. And I also found out that when we bought the loader, we could have paid for it in 23 dividends, not 24.
Well, that's your budget changes that your transfers you do.
Yeah, those are the transfers we do every year.
Yeah.
Say that now.
The loader when we bought it. Because we ordered it in this year, but we didn't pay for it until next year.
Yeah.
Remember that whole thing?
Well, we took delivery of it.
Right.
The wrong year.
But if we had a PO for it in '22, we could have built it to '22 budget. It didn't have to come out of '23.
Correct.
We had the funding. We had the funding in '23, though. That's what we had the money or whatever.
You're just carrying the money over.
We didn't have the money to pay for it.
Because I do that all the time. I mean, I order equipment and it doesn't get here, and we just roll that over.
Yeah, as long as it's PO.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything gets PO, yeah.
Which we tried doing that here. General Capital. No. We had the books. Remember that? I think Liz had it in her office.
Purchase order books.
We still use the purchase order books.
For everything?
They're supposed to use it if you want, you know, if you're buying ink, I sign whatever we bought today, I just signed it because I knew it's staples. Yeah, but so like if code wants, you know, or to read, whatever, folders, ink, everything.
Except for utilities.
Exactly.
You know, what you pass right. in your meeting in January.
How many of you guys were buying clocks and you didn't even know we had the money for it?
Yeah.
You told me that yourself. I mean, it tells you in the handbook, the first thing you do if you're going to spend big money, you go up and talk to yours to make sure you've got some money.
To make sure you have the money and then some.
Well, is that chipper too? What chipper?
So we might be able to allocate fund balance, you know, balance and put it right in and do it in the reserve, right, and just make a little transfer. This money. I think that's it.
Okay, so the first scenario, I did 100, which one? So the second scenario, so that the second one is with 50.
I like that one.
We do the 915s. Oh, I got 3 916s.
And schedule a public hearing.
Schedule a public hearing for November 7th at
6:30.
6:30, a normal meeting. Let's do 6:30. Yes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. There's a motion, so carry.
Paul, you're the only one.
Pearson, nobody's much here to listen, but thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Pearson.
Spent too much time with my daughter.
All right, I want to ask questions next
time. So what we did now today, and I'm sure people were knocking the bathroom. bust in there, they break the vanities, crack the toilets.
Where is she going to sleep tonight?
Is she here? We need a motion to close the meeting.
Motion.
Motion by Patrick. Seconded by John Scanapico. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried.